That's a good computer we got.
Infinity Broadcasting, WJFK-FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hello.
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 How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills and personal banker to Granny.
Oh, Granny! Before I tell you, I'm Scott Shannon.
Yes. Oh, before that.
A
brief look ahead to a guest on the show today.
Oh, good. Very exciting.
And we're loaded today. Wow. We got a lot of great guests today, not including Bobby Mailman.
Yay! Yeah.
But there's a guy named Dr. Mesh Siebel. Okay. He is a singing doctor.
That's a fascinating name.
Cool.
He will be he'll be debuting and singing live some of his medical hits on the show today.
Oh, wonderful.
And because he is a medical doctor,
yes,
we can, in fact, we've run this past the Legal Beagles.
Right.
We can now play you his song, Vaginitis.
Wonderful.
He'll be on the show later today to sing this medical ditty live.
If vaginitis makes you itch at night with an odor that's not quite right.
Oh, dear.
You may think yeast is what it must be. But two out of three times you're wrong, you've got BV.
Yeah.
BV is bacterial vaginosis.
Singing doctor.
Unbalanced pH has caused the diagnosis.
Anyway, wow. Let me just play you a clip of another one of his hits.
What are some of the other smashes?
Well, I want to save it for later.
Sure.
This one's called Prostate Cancer.
Oh, my.
If you're a man and you are 50, there are two things you must do. First is let your doctor do a prostate check on you. Second, get a blood test for PSA. One third of all men's cancer can be found that way.
Don't anyway.
Be frightened when doc says drop your britches, son.
Wow.
He's got a lot of songs.
Sounds like he's doing some good, too.
He's on the show today.
Make sure you play all of them to the label, because they always end strong.
And also, more musical news.
Yeah.
First, we decided, I think we'll have Alan Parsons on the show again on
the third of never?
Yeah. You know, the deal with Alan Parsons. Oh, I wanted to say something.
Very understated Alan Parsons.
The singing senator, Charlie Albertson.
Yeah, Senator yes. Charlie Albertson.
Charlie A. You remember him from North Carolina?
Of course.
The senator?
Yeah.
He has written a special Christmas song for us that I bet will be along the lines of months and months and months. Right, Robbie?
Yes. That'll be fantastic.
He called me this morning at home, always a thrill.
Sure.
And he said he's going to drop the new songs in the mail to me.
I don't reckon it'll snow again in months and months and months.
And we've got him on next week. Yeah, doctors and senators, Jack.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. I got a weird email from Alan Parsons last night,
really?
Of all people.
Oh, my.
Through Beth Ann, just a thing saying, had a good time on the show. Hope I was okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I sent him a note back and said, you know, dude, you're an engineer that kind of got put into the forefront of a pop music band.
Right.
You know, you were fine.
Yeah.
And then he wrote back, well, can we do it again?
Sure.
So I wrote back on the date that Mike said.
Yeah, get him another chance, fourth and ever.
On the 13th and ever. Well, the 13th or the 4th.
Yes, that is good, yeah.
And as it turns out, they're both Saturdays. I know there's not 7 days between, but yeah. You
will be here.
It's a weird leap year.
Uh-huh.
Now I'll say, hello, this is Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Bill Drysdale. How many do we have today?
Four biggies. As you may know, Star Wars is out on DVD.
Yes, it is.
What Star Wars character is second most popular with Mexican gang members?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Homie Juan Kenobi.
Oh, I didn't have it. I love the guess, but I didn't have it quite right.
You'll get this one. What Star Wars... Hello.
Hello.
What Star Wars character is the most popular with Mexican gang members?
Which one?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ah, there you go. I had it first. Sorry.
What Star Wars character is the third most popular with Mexican gang members?
Which one?
Chewbacca.
Finally.
Finally.
Hello, this is Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Mill Drysdale.
I think you might like this one, Mill. What Star Wars character is fourth most popular with Mexican gang members?
Which one?
Ardos Didos.
Hey now.
Ardos.
Oh,
Didos.
Dosey Do.
Oh, dear.
Ardos. Didos. Okay.
Oh, dear me.
Buzz, you go first today. It's not a mixture. It's either or today. What do you think?
I'm going to say the prep service.
Mike.
I'm going to say Rob.
Buzz got it.
Wow. Buzz got it today.
Rare.
From the complete sheet.
Excellent.
Ardos Didos.
Buenos no shoes.
That made me laugh, really.
Hello.
Hi there. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hi, John Kerry.
Oh, hi there.
Hi there. Oh, and Jerry, where are you?
Hello.
Hi, Jerry. And Bert. All right, Tony.
Okay.
Hi, Dynamite. Right,
we appreciate it.
I know. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Hello.
Is Tony here today?
Bacardi Limon.
Hi.
I'm Marv Levy.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We are there. The door, here's the thing.
It's complete story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith. A man of hate. And his soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
How have you been?
You know how I've been.
Perhaps you know me as Goldilocks. Good afternoon. I meant Rapunzel. Good afternoon, Mr.
Let down your hair.
That's right. Great, baby. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Mailman and all the ships at sea. Personally responsible for helping Alan Parsons kick the caffeine habit. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. Time to get returned, it, everybody. Don and Mike show a new episode on this Wednesday.
Wednesday
1-2-0-8-0-4.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hey, Buzz. Hi, everybody. Don and Mike show. Let's get retarded. It's Wednesday, December 8th.
All right.
20-odd-4. Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. From Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067. And DC 202-432-1067.
Chestnuts roasting on the open fire.
How you guys doing?
How you doing?
Hanging in there.
You
and
doing?
You?
Sometimes, Buzz, I'd like to crawl out of my skin.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes
I think we all have
days. Sometimes I would just like to crawl out of my skin, find a nice gutter somewhere.
Right.
And just when I'm in that Mr. Biggleworth state, you know,
yeah.
It's like with my outsides, on my insides on the outsides.
Right.
Just crawl into a fetal position.
Wow.
And wait for a metro bus to come by and hit me.
That just sounds so depressing.
Not a good day, then.
That sounds so down.
It's been a great day.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yeah, it's been a great day.
You totally misinterpreted that.
Yeah, I got that wrong, I guess.
It's been a great day, and that's all I'm going to say. That's all I promised that I would say on that.
Or as they used to say up at Marist College, you totally misinterpreted that, Buzz.
Yeah, absolutely. You read it about it someday in my book.
Okay.
Someday, in my book, which I'm calling 24 Years and Counting, The Perfect Marriage.
That's wonderful.
That's all I'll say.
I'll buy that book.
And, yeah, well, hell, you're in it, Buzz. Don't worry about it.
Can I do the illustrations?
Of course, I was hoping you wouldn't.
Right.
Here's what's happening. As we go on the air today,
mm-hmm.
And how awful is this? That we're in the office, and I'm not proud to tell you this, but I'll tell you. The phone rings, and it's B.A. McBride, we're going to bring in here in a second for something unrelated.
Okay.
And she says, Don, I said, yes. You know, even though I always know it's her, you know, because I see the extension name, mm-hmm. And she knows, but it's always, Don, yes, Beth Ann. She says,
it's me, Beth Ann.
Formality.
I just got off the phone with Access Hollywood. I said, yes, Dick Clark had a stroke.
Oh, dear.
Now,
mm-hmm.
now,
America's teenage.
Poor Beth Ann tells me this, and I think she expects me to react like if she had said, you know, something happened to Bush.
Right,
you know,
yeah. Something, right.
Maybe I said, I laughed. Like a hyena. I mean, I got no ill will against Dick Clark.
No, nervous laughter, probably.
And then I said, hold on. Mike was in the office, and Rob was in the office. I said, let me tell them, because they had just heard me laugh. I said, Mike, Rob, Dick Clark has just had a stroke. Mike sat there.
Yeah.
Yeah, in shock,
stunned.
Rob. Yeah. Rob was about out of his mind. There's a contest between Rob and I
of who was showing more of their teeth.
I immediately arranged to send a sympathy card. Didn't he just announce that he had diabetes or something? He made some big secret announcement.
How old would Dick Clark be?
The ball is dropping.
Is it Rocky Eve?
You know, this kind of pours water on the ageless thing.
Yeah.
So anyway,
gonna miss him New Year's Eve at the stroke of midnight.
Oh, fuzz.
I'm sorry.
Who's this? Beth Ann?
Yeah.
Hi.
He's 75.
75.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 75. That's correct. 75 years young.
Yeah. He's in the hospital. He's suffered a stroke.
Oh, dear. Three quarters of a century.
And he does have diabetes.
Yes.
He does, yeah.
No M&Ms.
Well, God knows he's been suckling on the teat of America long enough that I think, you know, Dick Clark can do without a little while of all the shows on TV.
Well, yeah, he's had quite the career.
This is definitely going to slow the reunion of him and Ed McMahon for the Bloopers of Practical Jokes program.
Yes, yeah, they were all excited about that.
Did you find that tape yet?
Not yet.
Okay, go find it. Go find it, please. We have an exclusive tape of Dick Clark.
Oh, dear.
Moments ago.
Is he going to sound miraculously like Kirk Douglas?
Oh, God, why do you want to ruin all the funniest stuff, Mike?
I'm terribly sorry.
And what if he's not better by the 31st?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. We're all counting on him for New Year's Rock and Eve.
That's why all of our scientists have been working so round the clock on Ryan Seacrest. Anyway, here he is. Dick Clark.
I wonder who's kissing her now.
You thought it was going to be Kirk Douglas,
right? Yeah, you pulled
the
fast one on me.
Oh, I wonder who's kissing her now. La, 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 la.
Come on, there's nothing funny about this. We're just mentioning it because he's an American icon.
He is. Yes.
He's the world's oldest teenager.
We wish him a speedy recovery.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Who knew Ed McMahon would be visiting Dick Clark in the hospital?
You would have thought it would be the opposite way.
I would have.
We wish nothing but the best. Kirk?
Green is good.
There he is.
I mean, he was so charming the way he said it with the hair slicked back.
And now one more word from Dick Clark.
Father Kiss was the most important thing I did in my career.
And did you know that Dick Clark was in Spartacus?
I have no idea that was the most important part of his career.
He was one of the boys that carried those, you know how they carried around the emperors on
their shoulders.
I would have thought it would have been Bandstand. What a surprise, yeah.
I hope this doesn't harm the American Music Award.
I don't think so, Rob. I think it'll go on.
Okay, good.
And I hope, and this I do mean, from my ticker. I hope it doesn't stop the great food they're serving at Dick Clark American Bandstand Kitchenette.
Oh, no. Yes, those are wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
That'll go on.
Whatever those,
one in Times Square, isn't there a Bandstand restaurant?
We saw one in Philly one time when we were in Philly. We saw one of those things.
Just look for that AB logo.
American Bandstand.
Hey, you jumped in on that, Mike.
You got to go with the flow sometimes.
Of course. Hey, Beth Ann, are you still there?
Yeah.
Hey, would you come in here for a second?
Entree boo.
Or just hang up.
Entree boo, pork chop.
Today, and you should know when we call Beth Ann pork chop.
Right.
We do it because, now why is it?
She's doing her pork chop, dude.
Your daughter, Jennifer, calls you pork chop?
Yeah, lovingly calls me pork chop.
As we do, too.
Nice. Right.
So it's loving.
So when we say pork chop, you do a pork chop dance?
Pork chop. I just found this for you. Pork chop.
Pork chop.
It's the pork chop dance.
Yeah.
Pork chop. What color is your hair now, darling?
It's a little red.
A little henna?
Yeah.
It's very red.
You call me Carrot Top instead of Pork Chop for about 6 weeks.
It's very
really?
Red.
Yeah. When did we make the change?
Last night.
Oh, very nice color for you.
Yeah, my bathroom looked like a crime scene.
Oh, you did it at home?
Yeah.
You didn't have it professionally done?
Mike, she can't afford it.
I know.
You know that.
Does it look like it was professionally done?
It does.
It's red, doesn't it?
It's very nice and red.
With the salary she makes, she had to go shoplift. That whatever the L'Oreal stuff is that she
right,
used.
Right.
That's right. That's how
now, was that your
made.
Color of choice?
Put it in my bra.
L'Oreal, was that what you used? Or
no, I don't know. Whatever was cheapest.
Right.
Yeah. See, it always gets back to that.
Red Sharpies.
If you want to know a lot about a hair coloring, just ask that man over in the news booth. That's right. I can help you out.
B.A., why is your cousin an ass?
My cousin, William Quigley, is an ass because...
Quigley?
Yes. You know, we grew up together.
Billy Quigley.
Blue tights. You know, played together. You
right.
know, you know, you played kickball. You know, you played tennis. You goofed on each other.
Right.
It was my mother's brother's kids.
Okay.
My cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And then you grow up, and you know they still live in Pennsylvania, and we moved to North Carolina, and you kind of lose touch. But then you find out he's a famous artist.
Wow.
Painting people like Shaquille O'Neal.
And he is.
And Wayne Gretzky.
Wow. He did Clinton.
And you're right. His thing of Clinton is in the Clinton Library.
He's wow. doing a picture of Bush.
He's the man.
Right. So I said, hey, I book people. Hello.
Yeah.
I
right.
need to reach out to my cousin.
Uh-huh.
Which I did, you know, a couple months ago. And I thought, I feel kind of funny asking him, hi, Billy. You know, while you're talking to Shaq about something, can you hook me up? Can you ask him? Do you feel comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
Or with anybody? Wayne Gretzky, Kevin Spacey, who else has he done?
Wow.
Ice Cube, whatever, I'll take it.
And it turns out, this guy was with Kevin Spacey today when Beth Ann was on the phone with Cousin Billy.
Yeah, all these paintings are nudes also, right?
No.
That's some of them. Just the presidential ones.
So I call and I say, hey, Billy, it's Beth Ann. Who? Your cousin? Oh, yes. How are you? Listen, I'm here with Kevin Spacey. We're about to go get a bite to eat. I go, okay, well, I'll call you back. And
is that really what he said right off the bat? Wow.
Little insecure.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I would think so.
Cousin,
listen, I'm with a major Hollywood star. You're not important to me.
Right.
Yeah.
So then I said, listen, no, really, really. He said, listen, if you want to have me on the show, the thing is you're going to have to go through my agent.
Now, this is your cousin Billy's
agent. Yes,
service.
It's my... cousin, my first cousin.
And we don't want this jerk on the... I mean...
Well, if it was... I mean, I would talk to him on my show, but it's not the B.A. Pork Chop show.
Right.
The Don and Mike show.
And, you know, nobody knows who Billy Pork Chop is.
Well, we could have him on the show based on the fact that he's your cousin and ask him questions about you.
Did
you torture your cousin growing up? Things
right,
like that.
Things like, right. So... Then I said, well, really, tell Kevin I'd love to have him on the show. And he said... Are you asking me to ask friends of mine to be on your show?
What a pretentious ass. Do you believe? Are you asking me to ask friends of mine to be on the show? Meanwhile, he throws out when he picks up the phone to talk to
him. Yeah, that he's name dropping right to his
right.
cousin.
Hey, I can't chat. I'm about to go out to lunch with my friend Kevin Spacey.
Whose movie is premiering tonight in New
right.
York City.
Right.
So, you know, and he does have the new, he's got a new line of furniture, he's got the artwork, he's got lots of things going on. Don't you understand? I was just on Life of Luxury. I was interviewed by, what's his name, Mr. Ham?
Still your cousin talking
yes.
about himself?
I go, listen, I if you feel uncomfortable, I understand. I was calling, hey, I'm your cousin, that's all. You don't have to do anything for me. Well, really, if this is what you're asking, then I'm insulted. For you to reach out like this after so much time, yeah, well, listen, if I'm not going to get anything out of this, I really can't.
Good for you.
Yes, I just got...
Now, how long had it been since you've spoken with him?
For more than, like, 2 minutes?
No, how long had it been since the last conversation you'd had with him?
Well, he was getting ready to go in an elevator about... 4 weeks ago.
About 4 weeks.
Oh, so it's not like a long time has passed.
Well, before that, it had probably been 15, 20 years.
Oh, come on!
It's
Cousin
like,
Billy.
So right. would he be of the impression, even though he is pretentious, and I agree,
right.
would he be of the impression that you only called him because now he's famous?
But that would be the truth.
well, that's all right, too.
And really not because he's famous, because he knows famous people, right? I mean, he might be
in his arena.
He's probably, you're right, he's probably well-known in his arena, which has nothing to do on our radio show.
Right.
Right.
Right. We don't want to talk to some guy who builds chairs for a living, but...
doesn't build them. It's just his artwork. Design. He designs them.
Oh, he does the design, and then he has, cheap... five-year-olds in third-world countries doing
I don't know
work.
About that. I have to go through his agent to answer
of
that
course.
Question.
How close is he with Kevin Spacey?
They were having lunch. And they were, I'm sure they were talking about me the whole first part of the lunch.
So you think he's painting Kevin?
He already has.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it a nude?
It's not a nude, no.
Can I ask you a question about your brother or your cousin?
Uh-huh.
Does he have a girlfriend or a wife?
Yeah.
Oh, he does.
He did. He's divorced. He's divorced.
Yeah, he's not gay.
You can say. He's not gay.
I've just read in tabloids about Kevin Spacey.
So he was that direct with you? I'm insulted?
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Ouch. Mm-hmm. How was your relationship with him? How was your relationship prior to 15 years ago?
It was great. We were close cousins. You know, every holiday we were at each other's houses. Yeah.
Did you toss him the nugget that Dick Clark had had a stroke?
I didn't know until after.
Hey, I was going to have lunch with my good friend Dick Clark, but it turned out he just had a stroke today.
My biggest was the most important thing.
Is he the son of your mother's sister or your father's sister or brother?
He's the son of my mother's brother.
Mother's brother.
By the way, which is, are you ready?
Yeah.
Uncle Billy Giblets.
Uncle Billy.
So Uncle Billy Giblets is Cousin Billy's
father?
Father,
his right. Daddy.
And you just entertained his father at Thanksgiving.
And you want to know how broke I am? I mean, how poor I am?
Oh, God. Well, no, we have to hear this again.
Yeah, listen, this is how creative
I like
though.
These stories.
Okay.
When my uncle was there, I go, you know, Uncle Billy, he just had something that sold for like $85,000. It's impressionistic. Your name is William Quigley. Can you draw something for us? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure. To Uncle Billy as opposed to Cousin Billy.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. I think that it's enormous that you just entertained his father.
Yeah.
In your home for Thanksgiving, and he's blowing you off like
this. Did you use that as a chip? Did you say to him, hey, you know, it's not all about business. I just had, you know, it would be great to say to him.
That would have been a good lead-in.
It would be great to be, how did your dad celebrate Thanksgiving this year? Were you with, did you see your dad on Thanksgiving? Then he says, no, I was busy with my friend Sidney Pollack or whoever he was. Then you say, well, that's because he was at my house.
Is he close to his father?
I don't think so. He said he just, you know, they don't talk a whole lot.
Does his father hate him because he's such a Nancy boy?
No. No, Rob.
Okay.
There was a divorce.
That would have been the end
back
then. I mean, really, divorce.
You know, I just get so enthusiastic that I just want to.
No, but these guys are right. That's how you manipulate that he says, hey, I'm with Kevin Spacey. You're insulting me by insinuating I should ask him to be on this radio show. You say, well, I wasn't insulted when I took your dad in on Thanksgiving. And that's when
you summer as a child? Did you summer together with this cousin?
Oh, hold on. There you go. Sorry.
That's okay. We probably did till we were like 12. Mm-hmm. And then we were physically in North Carolina and the rest of my family was in Pennsylvania. And my parents just got tired of traveling.
Right. So they grew apart.
Right.
Speaking of physical, you mentioned up to about age 12. Were there any trips to the swimming hole for you and Cousin Billy?
No, we didn't know. No.
I mean, none of that stuff like we
kissing.
You don't want to go.
Is he okay?
I just made Mike spit up his drink.
Yeah, he really did. Are you okay?
Can I just picture a young Beth?
What makes me laugh is when I know where the questions are going to lead, and I, you know, we have one brain, and sometimes he catches me by surprise.
Young Beth Ann.
Continue on the swimming hole.
On a tree swing, you know, with her Daisy Dukes.
And it was awfully hot, and you didn't plan on going to the swimming hole.
Or taking your clothes off.
And Billy said, the next thing you know, Billy's in the middle of the lake, and he says, hey, Beth Ann,
Billy, right? Is it Billy?
Yeah, it's Cousin Billy.
I don't know if it's Billy, but it's William Quigley.
Okay, William.
On the art scene.
What did you call him back then?
Billy.
Okay, so
Billy.
So Billy's out about 25 feet from shore. He's in the water. And he says, hey, cousin.
The water's great.
Cousin Beth Ann, come on in. And you go, well, I don't want to come in. And then the next thing you know, his swimming trunks hit you in the face.
The next, you know.
Because he's taking them off from out there.
And you know you're Franklin and Eleanor. There you go.
You're from here to eternity.
It didn't happen.
That was the best swimming hole ever.
You know? No.
Did you ever spend any time on a farm, on a family farm?
No.
Like in a barn or anything?
No, no.
Never.
Sorry, nothing like
so
that.
So nothing between you and...
I don't think Franklin and Eleanor were first cousins. And you're first cousins.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last question.
I mean, that's real cousins.
Yeah. Really, last question.
Yeah.
Are you wearing your Hanukkah thong today?
No, I gave them to Jennifer.
Well, that's a shame that he was so curt with you.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, Beth Ann is the one that said it. I wrote it down in the office. She just came in.
She just
came in and proclaimed, my cousin Billy is an ass.
You give me the number and I'll call your cousin Billy. And I'll I'll straighten him out.
You're right. Okay.
You know, and what I would say to him would be, I don't ask much from you, girl.
Anyway, thank you, Beth
Ann.
That was a lovely story. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Beth Ann's family, and you guys are absolutely right. She should have turned that thing around and bring the old man in.
Well, they're first cousins, for God's sake.
Mike, haven't you been considering the commissioning of a portrait?
Yes, I have.
That's how you get in.
Absolutely. I want one. I want one right now.
But first, make up with your cousin.
But first. You know, I have my first cousins that I have a history with, but, I don't think that they
would. Oh, that's Teddy you're talking
Teddy
about,
and
right?
I, Teddy is the only one of my cousins that came down to the cafe and hung out.
Nice look around cafe.
All the way from Portland, Maine. Teddy's a good guy. Oh. And, you know, you can repair, even though I was tortured as a small child by my sister and all of my cousins, you can repair those things.
I want to mention Mike's look around cafe for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because, we're having the JFK Christmas party there this year. And Mike has got to deal with the station. Where it's going to be one of those, he gets commercials in order for us having the party.
Fair trade.
So, Mike's been waiting for a jingle.
Like a child waiting for a Christmas gift.
Every day, Mike comes in and talks about when he's going to get the jingle for the Look Around Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll let Mike pick this up in a second. I'll just set the scene for you.
Yeah.
Because I can't get the emotion into this. Mike relayed this to me. This morning about 9 o'clock, as he says, he's sawing wood.
Mm-hmm.
His gal pal, Carla, comes and says, hey, Mike.
Yeah, FedEx guy just got here.
Something you might want to see.
Ooh.
Mike runs downstairs.
I'm so excited.
Tells me he's happier than he was on Christmas morning when he was a kid. This is how excited he is to hear the jingle for the Look Around Cafe.
I struggled valiantly to get into my clothing because I'm in my underwear and I don't have anything in my windows, so I don't want people to see me in my underwear in my kitchen. And that's where I have my CD player. And I run down and the jingle has arrived. And I could not be... I am so excited. I'm so elated. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Rob's been handling this with the guy for me, and it's just so exciting. I tear it open, just like it's a Christmas present. I rip it open.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really nice packaging thing where it's got the little tab and stuff and the glue.
Yeah,
it's supposed
just
to be very
thick. Rip it
I
open.
Tear it open. I rip it. I'm like, ah-ha-ha! And it's a little CD with the logo of the company that does the jingles and then the restaurant logo on it. And I throw it into the machine and I'm waiting for it and it plays and the should I say the jingle or should
yeah,
I say
yeah, yeah.
The jingle is supposed to be good things happen when you're at O'Mara's. That's it. And it's supposed to go, good things happen when you're at O'Mara's. And I'm really excited about this.
Hold on, I'm only laughing because I've heard Mike sing this jingle around the office.
About 3,000 times.
Yeah, like every day he just, I'm trying to talk to him about something that's remotely related to his career here.
Uh-huh. Right.
And he's sitting there going, he'll go, what do you think of this? Good things, or do you think good things happen at O'Mara? I mean.
It was simple, but it was good.
Yeah.
It fit the music that I got. And so. I put it in,
look around
and
cafe.
I'm grinning. This is a gift. This is exciting.
You are
and
excited.
I put it in, and it goes, good things happen when you're at O'Meara's.
Oh, no.
And I go from the height of euphoria to the depths of despair, but not despair. I go into fist-pounding, foot-stomping, tantrum anger, where I'm just going, God damn it. Can't you get anything anymore in this country? It becomes, I invoke the name of God. I invoke the presidential election. Global warming is involved in this. I am, this to me is the end of the world as we know it. And I am so angry at this thing. And it's like, Mira, now there's a history. Because way, way back when I was a baby DJ apprenticing with Mr. Geronimo, when he got me off the street, took me out of the cardboard box.
This is 20 years ago.
We got jingles.
Our first jingle when we had the morning zoom.
And ever since that, I was always sensitive about it because Don said it sounds fine, and we kept him on the air, even though it made me cry. I cried myself to sleep because we still have him somewhere around.
Well, back then,
Geronimo, which he can't mess up Geronimo. It's easy to say. Everybody knows how to pronounce Geronimo. And technically, as Art Fleming has said, a lot of people see that name, and technically it might be correct to say O'Meara, but we have always pronounced it O'Mara, like bear, chair, scare, dare. And that's when I got the guy back on the phone, that's how I was doing it too.
Did you really?
I said it's like bear. It's like bear.
Right.
Bear in the big blue house. You don't say beer in the big blue house. You don't say, hey, may I pull out your cheer? You don't say it. You say chair. and it's air, and that's air, you know, the air that we've been, I'm going scare, dare, rare. I would like that medium, you don't say medium rear. You don't say that. I don't want my steak medium rear.
The weather outside is fear.
Uh-huh. Hey, right. You don't go on the show that's called Fear Factor. You go on Fear Factor, but mine happens to be E-A-R like bear, because it's E-A.
We work in it. And it's Fear Facts, Virginia.
So I am very, very depressed about this, and sure. I play it. And I play it like four different times thinking, well, I just heard it the first time. I'm overreacting. And then I call my good friend Rob, and Rob gets the very sad me, and Rob hears it.
Was
and
it
Rob,
sad? With
was it sad or angry, Rob? What was my mood? I think I may have calmed down a little bit when I called you.
It was more sad than mad, but also right. You had the tone that you were resolved to disappointment.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know. Should I have to pay for this? Yeah. I don't know. So well, it's like, does it open up to a larger suite?
I don't know.
I was very, and they sent me two. So I thought that, oh, maybe they did two different versions. How foolish of me to think that.
No,
it was simply a copy. And, you know, because we used to have the jingles on WAVA when we worked there that were Don Geronimo and Michael Mira.
And you know what? I just want to say, I never knew that that was, because it was always done with that, like, that Sonovox thing.
Right.
And I thought that it was just the way they did it. And, you know, back in the day, you never said to me, no, well.
Well, we were just starting out.
I know. Well, right. You would now.
I wasn't going to. That would have been, you know, pretentious for me.
Well,
not now, though. Now that I'm an established person. Get it right. You hear that?
See? You know what?
Yeah. That's the way it's supposed to sound.
When we got those name sings, I was lucky enough to actually listen to the session.
Yeah.
And at that time, they sang Mike O'Meara.
Mira.
And I
everybody
stopped
does.
Them.
But then you hear, and my mom.
Not mad.
Where my mom, 84 years old, but man, I was mad at her, too. Because
mad at your mom?
Well, she said.
About the jingle for your cafe?
She says to me today, well, you know, there are people that say O'Meara. I'm like, yes, Mom.
So mommy
and there are people that bomb buildings, but we don't want it that way to wait.
Oh, so Mommy didn't take your side on
this
right away?
No, Mommy totally understood, Mommy, because Mommy knows how we have pronounced our name. And I'm sure that there are people that have O'Meara that say O'Meara. I'm sure there are.
Yes.
But we have always said O'Meara, and that's the way it is.
When you were at the absolute Christmas morning moment between joy.
I have my shirt off. I just remembered because I was trying to get it on, but I was too excited.
Sure.
And I said, well, as long as I have pants on and somebody sees in the window, it's not going to be that big a deal. I'll run downstairs and I have my shirt off. And so I'm having this tantrum with my belt undone and my shirt off in the kitchen because I was that discouraged. And no one's around. It was me. No, there's nothing sexy about that.
No. So
I think I had a hat on, too.
A baseball hat?
I got the hat and the pants, but I missed the shirt on the way down.
So when you were having your tantrum, when you were your maddest, what was it like?
It was fist pounding. I was hitting the counter.
Oh.
I was hitting the counter, and expletives were just flying out of my mouth, and I hated the world, and I hated everybody. And I don't take it like a mistake. It's not a mistake when something like this happens. When I look forward to something, this is a personal attack on me.
That's right.
And my feeling was that, you know, that you and I have contracted to have jingles over the years a few times.
Sure.
And after that initial screw-up, they've had our names and, you know, it
well,
was...
Like, there here's,
was
so many here's one we had. We just got this one. I don't know.
That just says Don and Mike.
No, it says Don and Meek.
Okay, hold on.
Hold on, that thing's uncued.
I know we've got some where they sang your name right. I mean,
right. Well, we do. The ones the new ones.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Perfect. See, they did it right there.
That's it. And the old ones were Mir, like Meerkat. Mir.
You'll never forget that.
Well, I hated it.
Yeah,
I hated it more than anybody would ever know because...
And you couldn't speak up. You felt you couldn't speak up.
No, it was Buzz. I was too much of a professional to make a big deal of it.
Still are.
And thank you. And,
here's one they didn't screw up.
It's Beatman.
That's what Mike was going through his divorce. And we played that one every once in a while.
I was a little uptight. But the guy could not have been nicer at the jingle company. Said they're going in to sing it tomorrow, and it's going to be fixed, and it's going to be right. And I'm very, very excited about it. You guys both love jingles. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm it's really, really exciting. It's been my thing. It's been my thing. You
and
know?
Then he finished up. He said, "We're very sorry this happened, Mike."
Dave, Don and Mike. Oh, we
wanted
that a second.
We
got to move. Dave.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Good. I just had to ask you one thing. Could you guys write my last name down and tell me how you would pronounce it?
All right.
All right.
Sure.
Okay.
Is it an involved spelling, or can we do it like by memory?
It's involved.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
All right.
Okay. G A B.
Hold on. Is this going to be something dirty?
No.
Okay.
Rob, I need a pen. I want to write this down.
Not so far.
Gab.
G A B.
Okay.
R I E.
R I E.
Yeah.
L S O N.
What is it?
Gabrielson.
Okay.
G-A-B-R-I-E what?
L-S-O-N.
Gabrielson. That's how I would pronounce it.
I completely agree. Gabrielson.
It's not Gabrielson. It's Gabrielson.
Gabrielson. But the E is sort of silent then.
Exactly.
Gabrielson.
Gabrielson.
Gabrielson. And everybody calls me Gabrielson or Gabrielson.
Gabrielson. Gabrielson. Yeah.
Well, don't order. Don't order. I say don't over. Don't order yourself a speakeasy though,
or a jingle.
Don't get yourself a bar and then have to get a jingle.
Okay. I just wanted to tell Mike.
Okay. That was okay. Fine.
All right.
You come up with the money then.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, we're doing great.
I was wondering if Mike did the two W's, drank some water, and went for a walk when he was so upset.
No. That would have burned off that anger.
Okay, I have to laugh at that. One thing I left out of my tantrum today, with all the anger and the expletives that were, there was just a real healthy dose of ego. I'm sure there were statements there, if I could remember them, that, you know, were,
like,
you know, how dare they, you know, don't they know?
Uh-huh.
After 20 years in radio, don't they know?
Obviously not.
I think I said that at one point. You know, 20 years, don't they know? like down there, you know, and the fact I think that we're on in Dallas has something to do with it, too.
That's where the jingles are made.
Yeah, so.
Anyway. So, wait, what is Carla just standing there at this point looking at you with a baseball hat on,
Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. Sure. I think maybe upstairs or
so
some other part.
This is
my own. I'm just, oh, my God, I can't believe it. And then much like, the guy, my business partners, when I told them, Carly gave me the same look that everybody gave me today, which you would probably give me in a similar situation, which is just a shake of the head, like, ass. You know, which is really just, because no one cares as much as I do. This is my thing. This is my important thing. And everybody's just like, okay. Don't sweat it. You know, on the large scheme of things.
You're always going to have a table waiting for you at Hank's Look Around Cafe.
So I hope they get it right. I'm still paranoid about it. I'm still paranoid that I'm going to get them in the mail, and they're going to come in the mail, and I'm going to play them in my little machine.
This time it'll be Mark O'Mara.
You know, I'm seriously thinking it might be Mara. It's a subtle little pronunciation. It could be Mara or Mira, but it's mare, chair, scared, dare, fair, rare.
Bear.
Lair.
Tear.
Larry. You know how some people say Larry?
Scare.
Scare.
Larry. Scare, dare, fair, bear.
Fair is
air.
Fair. And really, the way I felt, no fair.
That's right.
And of course, one of my favorite cities, Zaire.
That's a country, isn't it?
Yes, Zaire-lison.
Yeah. Was that a country or a city?
I don't know.
Zaire.
Zaire's a country.
It's
right.
A district.
A province.
I got an A-frame there.
And?
Man, the fishing's great. In Zaire.
Good.
And I was reading something about in the bathroom reader that one of you got me for Christmas, or and I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, there's some stuff about Hitler in there, Rob.
Must have been wrong.
Yeah. I mean, really.
Then don't read it in the bathroom.
I actually wanted to highlight it for you. I was reading about superstitions in the bathroom reader about how you put your clothing on. And that if you put your clothing on a certain way, you'll have a good day. And I forgot.
It didn't say anything about shirt and no shirt and a hat.
No, it didn't. There's something about the way you put your shirt on.
Hello, Dave. Don and Mike Show. Dave.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell Mike, the Pan with the Fingers are just not familiar with the honorary Grand Marshal of Manassas there.
Yeah. Okay, now look, I understand I have my pathetic little life, but it's my life and I'm damn proud of it.
You're just a few days away, Mike, from good things happen when you're at Omar's.
We got a break, because we'll be right back with Junior.
Junior!
Junior, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
WJFK. And the great computer.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's fucking awful. It's a young man. Heart disease. The silent killer. Hey, there are worse ways to go. Even still, I'm the bitch I don't. What do you fucking humiliate? So Elvis died. That guy in Hollywood, too. Don something. Producer of Simpsons.
The Don and Mike Show. Many fancy them as eccentric. Don and Mike.
Yeah. Joining us now, Frank Sinatra
Jr. That's life.
Hey, Frank. Sir?
Hello.
Frank Sinatra Jr., wow. Everybody.
Frank, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Can I first tell you, you're great on The Sopranos.
Uh-huh.
I love that episode. You're playing poker with the guys in a hotel room.
Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Oh, just a couple years ago. Not that long ago, Frank.
Oh, that was 1999.
1990? Was it that long ago?
Well, maybe it's because The Sopranos.
That's when they did it. It's when they taped it, probably, when they filmed it.
Right. Well, hold on. We've got Charlie on the phone as well here.
Charlie Pignon, who's the creator of this book, The Sinatra Treasure.
Hello, Charlie.
Treasures, rather.
Hello.
Hey. How you guys doing?
Fine.
I've been thumbing through this book, and it's incredible. I mean, it's like, what it's like is like a real scrapbook that some super fan would have. It's amazing.
Both Frank and Charlie are here to talk about the book and the CD, The Sinatra Treasures. Frank, if we could start with you. You know, everybody loves your dad and his career and everything involved. How did you finally get motivated? What is it that got you involved to get something like this project going?
In a word, it was Charles Pignon. He talks funny, he's Italian. What it was is that Charles had had the idea to do this book for a long time, and he spent several years working on it. It was no overnight project. It took him a long, long time. And he really did his homework. And he asked me to write one of the forewords to the book, which I did for him.
And I would imagine, have you ever been involved with any other project of this kind? Because there's been so much written about your father over the years.
I have been asked to write different things for different people now and again, but no, I'm not really involved. The only thing I did in Charles' book was to do the foreword.
Frank, before we talk about your dad, I'd like to ask you about yourself and about this book for a second. Your dad, and you know this, was the coolest of cool. And you are also, I mean, talking to you now, you have that same, and I don't mean, you're your own person, but you've got that same Sinatra tone of voice that on one hand, guys think is so cool, but on the other hand, it's very intimidating, is what I'm trying to say. How tough has it been for you being Frank Sinatra Jr.?
I'm not terribly intimidating. If my voice sounds a little raspy today, gentlemen, it's only because I'm getting over a head cold.
Okay. That's not intimidating at all, the fact that you've had a head cold.
Well, I'm sipping on some lukewarm tea.
Well, you know, you related to the greatest singer of all time, is there a magic formula when your voice is bothering you? What did your dad do when he would be under the weather and he'd have to perform? Did he have any kind of formula that he'd take?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, we're not going to hear what it is. Let me play.
Absolutely, it was called Jack Daniel.
Yeah, okay.
Let's clear up a myth for all the real fans of Frank Sinatra. And I had the privilege of seeing your father in concert. You would always hear, you know, he'd be on stage and he said, and you were his musical director. How many years were you? Did you run the band for your dad?
I was his music director the last 7 years that he worked.
All right, when he would be on stage and he would say, always he would say, it's tea. Was it real tea or was it real Jack Daniels? I mean, I've heard both stories. What was the hooch that your dad would drink on stage?
He had something in a coffee cup. That's about as close as I ever got to it.
Ah, okay.
And let's just say that a bit of a smile would come on his face. He would sample it.
Okay.
And that was, I think, a kind of a smile that no one's going to get from tea.
Okay, that answers the question.
Frank, how do you like George Clooney in Ocean's 11 and now in Ocean's 12? You know, your dad's movie was what it was. I underappreciated at the time. Now people look at it and go, wow, great cast, great concept. Now Clooney's done this. How do you like this with Clooney, like, being your dad? I mean, your dad was Danny Ocean before Clooney was ever even, you know.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Okay. No problem.
No, George Clooney's movie, which was made by a man named Jerry Weintraub, who was a Sinatra tour booker in those days.
Right, right.
Mr. Weintraub has done very well with these movies, but that is not Ocean's 11.
Right.
The original Ocean's 11 was a light picture. We still had light entertainment then. The original Ocean's 11 had humor in it. It had music in it. And it was a very light story, actually. The Ocean's 11 that came out in the 21st century, and now this new one that's coming out, I'm told.
Yeah.
They are very heavy dramas.
Yeah.
You've got some people who are absolutely hateful. the bad guy, Andy Garcia, in the original, is a real villain.
Yeah.
I mean, there is nothing redeeming about his personality at all.
What would your dad think of the movie, do you think?
I have no idea. I never did his thinking for him.
Okay.
All right. Enough on that. In this book, The Sinatra Treasures, besides the book, and Charlie will talk to you about that in a second, I mentioned it's got a CD, including some stuff that I've never been able to find anywhere. We'd like to play a little bit of this. It's a song that your dad did for JFK.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people maybe have never heard of this, but it was back in the day, they would actually, it was popular. You would have campaigns for you know, Senate, for president, where they would actually have a theme song, and this was the one that they used for the Kennedy campaign.
We'll throw this from the, it's a CD that comes with the Sinatra Treasures.
Swinging.
Everyone is voting for Jack, 'cause he's got what all the rest lack. Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes.
That's so good.
And that carried a lot of weight in the day.
It
really did. And Charlie, how many years did it take to compile all this stuff? I mean, I love this book. This book is so much fun. I mean, it's not only got the text, but it really, you go through it, and it's got telegrams, copies of telegrams, reproductions of backstage passes, all this neat stuff. How long did it take to put all this together?
About 18 months it took to compile it, and then about another 6 months to actually physically put the book together.
How you doing, Frank? You okay, sir?
Frank, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. One more thing from the CD that I think is fascinating is it's a monologue of your dad in Vegas. If we could just play a couple of seconds of this, because this is also, I know it's a book, but the CD is fascinating and comes with lots of great Frank Sinatra stuff. Here's Frank on stage in Vegas.
I'd like to bid you all good morning, ladies and gentlemen, while I finish my breakfast while you have your dinner. I've had a great time here for 4 weeks. That's what they tell me. You can run to 6,000 places in this town, never remember what the hell you saw when you got home. Boy, it's a buzzsaw up here.
Oh, that's good.
I think that's the tea.
Yeah, and
really, tea and honey is all that.
Yeah, see, that's what he says.
Surprise me once in 4 weeks and put a little booze in there.
I don't want to play the whole thing. It's 20 minutes long. You got to buy the movie to get the DVD. The
Frank, CD. I just wanted to ask Frank, what is the with your involvement, and it can be either when you were musical director or when you were at one of your father's performances. Is there any single event in this incredible career that would be the most memorable to you?
I think the most memorable thing that ever happened was when. I'm guessing it was in the early 1970s or the mid-1970s,
mm-hmm.
at which point the President of the United States, Richard Nixon, called Sinatra to Washington to be a guest at a dinner that they were having for the repatriated prisoners of war who they had just liberated from what was called during the Vietnam War, affectionately, the Hanoi Hilton.
Right.
And these men, some of whom had been there like 10 years, some even longer, they came back and they were repatriated with their families, rejoined with their families.
Right.
The President of the United States had a dinner for them in Washington, D.C., and among other things, he asked Frank Sinatra to join this dinner. And during the course of the evening, Sinatra was sitting there, and one of these repatriated American officers, I think he was a pilot, I'm not sure, Navy or Air Force, he said that during the 10 years plus that he had been in the Hanoi Hilton, the North Vietnamese had most graciously given them a record player. And it was some old Victrola or some kind of phonograph that they had from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one record, which was a Frank Sinatra record. And for 10 years, all they had to keep them connected to home
was your dad's
memory
record.
Of home was this one Frank Sinatra record.
Wow.
And when this man made this statement, Sinatra sat there and he said, finally, when he was asked to speak, he said, I don't have any smattering of an idea what I can say to that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
This is incredible. And these people in captivity for 10 years, they just had this one record. And this was, I'm trying to remember, I think it was Senator McCain.
John McCain, right.
Who
right.
was himself a prisoner of war.
Right.
I think he was the one who said at the time, somebody asked him, he said, yes, that's absolutely true.
Wow.
And I think this moved Sinatra more than anything.
That's a great story.
Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful.
And one more thing I would like to ask you about your dad as an actor. You mentioned Ocean's 11 and what you thought there. What about your dad in a movie that they're showing now because they had the remake, the original Manchurian Candidate.
Great movie.
When your dad did that, your dad was a singer, a performer, also an actor. I look at that, and I look at your dad in a whole another light. I mean, he's not the cool guy on stage. He's just, he's a tough-ass, good actor. How did you feel about that movie and the other movies your dad made?
Well, you're asking me a lot of questions.
Okay, well, did you like...
Manchurian Candidate was made back in 1962.
Right.
And that movie at the time, you had a story written by an Irish author whose name was Richard Condon. And Richard Condon was not wrapped too tight.
Okay.
He did not have all his buttons in the right holes, as the saying goes.
Okay, gotcha.
That story was considered, even then, very, very off the wall. And it struck this wonderful director, the late John Frankenheimer, so strongly. And he was trying to get this thing made, and as is the case today, it was the same thing back then. If you got a major star to sign on to your property, you could get something made. You know what I mean?
Right, sure, yeah.
So he was able to enlist the interest of Frank Sinatra at that time. They went ahead and made this movie almost totally under wraps. It was very little publicity about it. There was very little notice about it. They filmed in New York, and they filmed in the interiors were done in California. And this went on and on and on, and they kept it very quiet. And then toward the end of the year, when the movie, I think the movie debuted in October that year, and the film happened to hit the theaters just at the time that the Cuban Missile Crisis hit the newspapers.
I didn't know that, yeah.
And people at the time, in October of 1962, were very much afraid that the dreaded World War III,
right,
between Presidents Kennedy and Premier Khrushchev at the time, that we were getting awfully close to it. Because the Russians were putting these offensive weapons into Cuba, 90 miles off the United States. And President Kennedy made a very pointed speech about that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody was turned off from the Manchurian Candidate, and the picture went by, to a large extent, unnoticed.
I tell you,
didn't your dad get an Oscar nomination for that, or win the Oscar for that?
What happened was the sterling performance of Angela Lansbury, she was nominated for the Oscar.
Okay.
And the picture actually did win an Oscar for John Frankenheimer,
right,
for the best direction.
Hmm.
However, the film joined the ranks of a certain type of movie that this industry embraces now. When a picture comes out on its first run and does absolutely nothing, and years later it gets discovered for how great it was, There's a name for that.
What is that?
It's called a sleeper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have always said that the greatest sleeper of them all was a picture that Orson Welles made called Citizen Kane.
You better believe it.
And I say to people when they ask me about that, the Manchurian candidate is Sinatra's Citizen Kane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's his sleeper.
Agreed. Well, I'm so glad that you shared that with us. Charlie, the book, let me just ask you last question. Charlie, how big a Sinatra fan were you before you started this book? I mean, you had to be a mega Sinatra fan, right?
I was, and I was lucky enough to go to see a lot of the shows and while Frank was the music director in the later years and see about 400 or 500 concerts, but... Yeah, of course, a huge fan.
If there's one piece, because you've compiled all these recreations, all these reproductions of backstage passes, telegrams, if there was one thing that that the real diehard Sinatra fan would want to look for as far as some of the stuff, and you've got so many interesting items in this book, what would be the one thing you would recommend?
There's so many, but I think that what I'm hearing from most people when they look in the book is that they're amazed the list of items that was requested in the dressing room for his engagement in Las
Excellent.
Vegas.
Liz Ryder, wow. Yeah, we'll look for that.
Compared to people today, the demands they make, this was a very simple, few simple requests for some backstage items, so...
Gotcha. Cool. Well, listen, we're going to have a link for this on our website, Amazon, and everywhere else you can get it. Called the Sinatra Treasures. Charlie, thank you for your time. Frank, thank you for your time. Hope you're feeling better.
Thank you. Thank you for the interest. Charles has done a remarkable job with his book.
Sounds like it.
Can I just tell you, before we hang up, your dad was the coolest.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know you know that, but your dad was just, I mean, there was cool, and then there was your dad cool. You know what I mean? And your dad was so cool that I was born in 1958. Mm-hmm. Even when my dad didn't like Beatles music and stuff, he'd say, that's garbage. Put on Frank. I would always be cool with that.
Yeah, everybody is.
Because your dad was cool.
And it lives today. The music lives on. It's,
thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. That was about as slow as Alan Parsons.
But, you know, we're still intimidated.
Sure,
well, rightly so.
It's Frank Jr.
Strangers in the night.
I mean, he's got that doobie-doobie-doobie sound to his voice.
He sounds so much like his dad now, it's eerie.
Yeah, and I wasn't blowing smoke about the book, because I know it probably sounded like that, but really I've been thumbing through this, and it's just very cool. You said they did a similar book, like, with Elvis?
Yeah, they're very neat, and for an uber fan, it's neat to, like, handle, like, a fake telegram and stuff like
Scrapbook
that.
Scrapbook cool. Thing. But I'll tell you something right now. I didn't want to say anything to make Frank Sinatra Jr. angry.
Nor did I.
It was the same kind of thing that his dad had. And his dad had that for hours. You know, hey, Frank, you know, it would be fun to hear the comedians talk about that.
This is what friends of Oz call what?
Yes.
A sleeper.
I understand the two disc jockeys out of Washington were slightly disrespectful.
Pay them a visit.
Yeah. Okay. And now for Jack Kennedy.
Everyone is voting for Jack because he's got what
hey, you know, seriously. And I feel like now if Nick Lachey did a song for George Bush. Sadly, is what we've come to now. Hi, Jessica. Hi, hopes.
We were talking about it the other day with the Ocean 11, the Ocean's 12 press that they're doing.
And
where
boy.
They're trying so hard.
Hey, he's not too pissed about that movie, is he, Frank Jr.?
I don't know why he is, but they're trying so hard to make it like the Rat Pack now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you go back and look at those guys. I mean, they'd party till 5 o'clock in the morning and then, you know, shoot a movie and then go do it all over again.
I know. I tell them, I like the remake of Ocean's 11. I'm going to go see Ocean's 12 this weekend.
Oh, I love those movies.
There's one scene in the Manchurian Candidate, old black and white movie.
Right.
You know, and it's about brainwashing these guys and putting chips in their heads.
Right.
And it's done back in the day, and the effects are nothing. There's one of these guys that they've brainwashed. He's in a hospital bed, and they say, take the bandage off your head. And it's like a baseball cap that he's got on his head.
Right.
And this is supposed to have fooled doctors that this guy had some type of brain disorder.
Yeah, it was one of those sleepers. The other, what he was talking about, other sleepers would be Wizard of Oz was a sleeper, was not as good in the box office. Citizen Kane, It's a Wonderful Life, the Christmas movie, did nothing at the box office. Right?
Christmas, so was Ernest Saves Christmas.
Yeah. That was a sleeper. Someday, that'll be appreciated.
That was a big sleeper.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. There we are again on our best goddamn behavior. I mean, because what are you going to say?
Right.
What are you going to say?
You want to live.
Hey, Frank, pick it up. Pick up the pace a little bit.
No, you don't say that.
And you know what? If I said that, I'd say to Rob, go start my car tonight for me.
You got what I'm saying?
I just want to make sure the car's nice and warm when I leave tonight.
Yo, Frank, a little more energy. What? Come on.
Start it up.
You try to endear yourself to somebody, you know. Hey, I loved you on The Sopranos. Well, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's a battle. Leave me alone. It's a struggle.
No, Rob. I don't care, Rob. You started up, Rob. Stop honking, Rob. Rob,
don't hit
turn the
horn.
Key, Rob. Turn the key!
It's from Frank.
If I'd only been a little nicer to Frank Jr.
And the Orioles, thank you. Got a break.
We'll be back with the singing doctor.
Ah.
I bet this guy, I got news for you. We will push this guy around.
Yeah, you're in charge.
Like a piece of paper.
That's right.
Buzz, we are large and in charge.
Yeah, right. Man.
With this guy, with Dr. whatever the frig his name is.
Of course.
Yeah, it's gonna be, hey, listen, dance and jump, and he'll say, how high?
Absolutely. Well, how high would you like me to?
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, you had to have heard by now. It's all about the O. Yeah. Overstock.com. Mm-hmm. Me and Friendster are trademarks of their respective companies and are not affiliated with Overstock.com.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free phone that's built into your OnStar-equipped vehicle.
I use my OnStar Personal Calling today to talk to my mommy.
OnStar offers two different ways to pay for your service. As always, you can buy the prepaid minutes. Now they offer the new America's Choice plan with OnStar. You can add your built-in OnStar hands-free phone to your existing Verizon service package. That way, you use your handheld phone when you're outside the car, OnStar phone inside. It's two ways to connect that work off one package of minutes and only one Verizon bill.
And of course, in addition to OnStar Personal Calling, OnStar also gives you the security of driving safe. If you ever get in a collision, OnStar will make sure you're okay and contact emergency services.
Me and Mike both have OnStar. We love it. If you don't have OnStar, press your blue button to order minutes or go to OnStar.com.
The Don and Mike Show. WKFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Silly dilly dokio. I'm an idiot. Yeah, that's true.
And there you go. There's...
Hey, Garn, they've done something even more difficult. They wrote a book, Don and Mike.
Merry Christmas. Don and Mike show at a station break right now in Dallas. It's midnight, but we don't care. On Live 105 and about in Tampa Bay. 1010 WBZZ. In Las Vegas. We'll be four every day on KSFN. And Lafayette, Louisiana. KVOL. Information on the show, the official site, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Besides the daily logs, the updates, the downloads, also the affiliate list so you can find out where the show is and what time they're playing it at.
And if you'd like some Christmas merchandise, there's a lovely store that also exists on the website, and you can purchase fabulous products for friends and family members.
Store? Store rhymes with whore.
Thank you.
One last Frank Sinatra item. And it concerns Jerry.
A little more than a month ago,
yeah.
My wife Sam and myself were invited to Kensington Palace in London to have coffee with Princess Di. I thought that meeting Diana again for the third or fourth time, we could talk to her.
This is when Princess Di died.
People about the
and then Jerry, of course, dedicated the telethon to her.
Of course.
We had a marvelous time talking about
marvelous.
What the plan
marvelous.
To do.
Now, the reason I mention that is Mike is looking through the book.
Yeah, it is a cool book, the Frank Sinatra Treasures.
The Sinatra book, and one of the things it's got is a pretty authentic copy of a letter that Jerry Lewis sent to Frank Sinatra.
That's correct.
In 1976.
Okay.
I'm not going to read you the whole letter. It starts, "Dear Frank, you are indeed a magical man. And for so many reasons, What you did Sunday night was a beautiful and courageous thing, and I love you for it. I guess we'll never know how many more dollars you generated for my kids, but I do know what you generated in my heart. I'm sure by now you know I'll always be there for you, wherever and whenever, no matter what. Just try me, and let me have some of the joy that I see you get from the good things you do. Being a Sinatra fan most of my life isn't unusual, but falling in love with him, I never figured on it.
No.
Jerry.
I love you. And it feels marvelous.
Wow.
Always, Jerry.
Jerry, marvelous. That's you want to look up Gushy?
There you go.
In the dictionary, there it is right
we
there.
We have loved it for 20 years when Jerry Lewis says, marvelous. And
I love you and it feels marvelous.
You know what? I want a, right now I want, what do they call it when you're going to testify and they're not going to, like what these baseball players.
Immunity?
Yeah.
Immunity.
You
like immunity.
I want immunity like the baseball players have.
Okay.
Because I'm going to say, MC Hammer.
Okay.
But don't turn it on. Because one of the best Jerry tapes is we have Jerry talking to Lisa Gibbons during a telethon.
And they're talking about MC
and
Hammer.
Oh, you can say it now because we have immunity like right. The baseball players with the steroids. And and Jerry says, she says, wasn't MC Hammer great? And he goes, he's marvelous.
Marvelous is Jerry's favorite word.
Here we
right?
go. Let's see, here it is.
Did you guys see MC Hammer earlier?
Yeah.
He's going to be back. He was so hot.
He's marvelous.
You know,
he's marvelous.
You're marvelous.
He's marvelous.
Everything's marvelous.
Lady Di is marvelous.
I love you, and it feels marvelous.
Did you guys see MC Hammer earlier?
Yeah.
He's going to be back. He was so hot.
Wow.
He's marvelous.
You know, marvelous. That letter is funny. I love you. First he writes he loves Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I love you, and it feels marvelous.
How did
Frank
marvelous.
Feel about that?
Robbie, you got the doctor on the phone?
He's standing by.
Oh, here he is, everybody. We mentioned this earlier. Here is Dr. Mesh Siebel. His website is healthrock.com. Hello, doctor.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great. Welcome to the show. May I ask you before you start singing, what type of a doctor are you?
I am a gynecologist.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Good for you, Doc.
Yeah. Doc, how did you decide to become a singing gynecologist?
Well, I've been doing music most of my life and more traditional kinds of music, but what got me going on this area is the fact that the information for patients is now so limited. In other words, the time you get to spend with the doctor is only about 8 minutes now per visit. So patients don't have that much time to really talk with their doctor. And then just this past April, there was a report from the Institutes of Medicine, a very prestigious organization, saying that there were 90 million health illiterate people in the United States. In other words, half the adult population really doesn't understand the things they need to do to prevent disease or what goes on when they have procedures and so forth.
And I tell you, the easiest way to learn, think about this, how'd you learn your ABCs?
Yeah, sure.
So you want to learn about vaginitis, you sing about it.
And when you first break this out to a patient, though, Doc, did you have anybody flee your office thinking, my God, he's lost his mind?
Well, I don't do this in the context of an office, that's for sure.
Oh, so you mean if you, for instance, had a female, in this case, patient, and she was in the stirrups and you got done, you wouldn't look up at her and get your guitar and go, you know, vaginitis or
don't
or
you think it would soften those difficult diagnoses, you know, when you break out the guitar? Are you ever tempted to do that?
No, just talking and listening is all I need to do.
Okay.
But what I use this for is for patient seminars, for hospital meetings, for national meetings, for medical societies, for sometimes on the radio they do public service announcements using my songs.
If you have a conference, you'll break out one of your like CDs and play it for people?
Sometimes in that setting, yes.
How does that go over?
Oh, people love it because, you know, it's easy to get somebody to give
marvelous.
Them a talk, but not that easy to get someone to try and give them entertainment and information at the same time.
Okay, let's play a couple of your hits, and then we'd like you to do something acapella for us, but let's start with your hit, Vaginitis. Let's play it, and then maybe you can tell us what you were thinking of when you were making this hit record. Here is Dr. Mesh Siebel.
Mesh.
Oh, sorry about that, Doc.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to do that one, but...
I'll play that one. I've got that.
Play it. Okay, go ahead.
I've got your CD. We'll play it, and you can tell us what you were thinking.
Okay.
Here we go.
If vaginitis makes you itch at night with an odor that's not quite right, you may think yeast is what it must be.
But two out of three times you're wrong, you've got BV.
Yeah.
BV is bacterial vaginosis. Unbalanced pH caused the diagnosis.
Let me play this one out now. Oh, that's where it ends.
Oh, okay, it's a little sample.
So, right. How long did it take you to write that song, Doctor?
Oh, a couple of days.
A couple of days. And when you've played it for people, have they responded in a positive manner?
Well, you know, one of the benefits of music is the fact that in this setting, the song can be shocking a little bit. But after the shock part comes away, you get desensitized and people talk about it. I mean, if you listen to that song, for instance, here you have a situation where you have an over-the-counter product for yeast. So you have something over-the-counter, and that's the only thing that people understand. So it turns out that of all the billions of women that treat themselves for that, only one-third actually have yeast, and two-thirds actually have this bacterial vaginosis. And that's a problem with the acidity of the vagina. So if the pH has changed, then you can cure it just like that. So
now I feel like Oprah doing this topic.
This is interesting.
Let's move on to another one of your
hits. I've never had it, though.
Another
good, because if you do, you need to get on a different talk show, I can tell you that.
Another one of your greatest hits is called Wash Your Hands.
Right.
Oh, I like
it's
that.
Self-explanatory why you should, but here now is the hit song by the doc.
When you cough, when you sneeze, both your hands can spread disease. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands.
Yeah.
In the bathroom when you go, there is one thing you should know. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands.
Catchy.
Cause germs are bugs that make you sick, and soap and water kill germs quick, quick, quick. When you cough, when you sneeze.
Both. See, now that's when you can even sing to the little kids, right?
I think we could get a copy of that and play it for the sales staff.
Well, that's right, because I wrote that actually during the SARS epidemic for kids, because they were doing video of the bathrooms at airports, and it turns out that a lot of people, even when they go to the bathroom, even adults, don't wash their hands, and yet you have all this international travel.
Right. I'm sorry, we're getting some interference there.
Oh, that's right. With people touching the knobs on the, you know, on the faucets, and then...
Hey, can I ask you a serious hand-washing question?
Go right ahead.
When you... I think I've heard... What is the... The hot water is more important than, like, any antibacterial soap. Isn't that right?
Well, I think that... I think that just washing with any soap works fine.
And you do it with it, but you try to do it with as hot a water as you can get, right?
I don't even think that's necessary.
Really?
Oh, there you go.
In hospitals, when we scrub before surgery, we use warm water. It doesn't have to be hot.
It doesn't have to. Oh, there you go. You've learned something. See, I've educated our listeners.
We're going to hear another one of his hit songs.
Okay.
This one is one of my favorites. A Light at the End of Your Tunnel.
Oh, excellent.
The Singing Doctor.
Colon cancer silent, but it's killer number two. Quietly growing deep inside of you.
Right.
If you find it early, you'll be cancer free. That's why when you're 50, get a colonoscopy.
Yeah, there you go.
You need a light at the end of
your tunnel.
Now, I like that one, Doc.
Let me tell you guys about this one. Now, my doctor tried to get me to do a colonoscopy for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And I said, listen, guy, I will do this. I will get a colonoscopy if the Red Sox wins the World Series.
Yeah, Doc. All right.
He's a Red Sox fan.
So the point is that I'm afraid...
You only need one every 86 years. That's the point.
Hey, watch out. Watch out.
So if I'm afraid to do it and a little uncomfortable with it, how about my patients?
Yeah. Okay.
So I wrote this song recently because I realized it wasn't very bad to do.
Right.
And it turns out it could prevent colon cancer. So, gosh, what a great thing to do.
I see that he's based out of UMass. That's the hospital center in Worcester, Mass. We're on in Worcester also, Doc.
One more song here. Beer Brain Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Mike?
Now I'm nervous.
Listen.
Well, I've been sitting on the beach watching surfers fall with a blonde-legged woman named I can't recall. Had a lot of money, but I've blown it all. I got a bad case of beer brain blues. I kept sipping on suds till the sun went down.
Well, that song is nothing but hurtful.
Yeah, you've hurt me, Doctor. Now I'm sorry. I must part company.
And I'm sitting on the beach, and I'm thinking, I got to come up with something that is not, I love Jimmy Buffett, but I need that kind of sound to kind of go and to point out the problems with over-drinking.
Oh, right? No.
Let's not go there. Let's go to
Incontinence. We're gonna brush by that one, Doug.
Here's another hit song called Incontinence.
I've got a secret, and you might too. Because 1 in 3 women tell me it's true. And it's embarrassing if you do have incontinence. You lose some when you cough or sneeze.
We had to leave that out.
Huh? And exercising makes you ill at ease.
You know, I noticed that that song, as a lot of the songs you have, are dedicated to women. Are your songs predominantly geared towards...
Predominantly because women are the largest users of the medical services, and they're often the ones that do the...
Well, let me say hi to... Beth Ann, our producer. Anyway, I'm sorry, you were saying about women?
Well, women are usually the caretakers of the family, and so if you appeal to women, you get them into the system, they're more likely to listen.
Okay, wild card now, from healthrock.com. Would you rather hear Jimmy's Riding With Me...
That sounds funny.
Or... the song about prostate cancer.
Prostate cancer.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Oh, and Doctor, of these seven hits that we've mentioned, Vaginitis, Wash Your Hands, Jimmy's Ride With Me, Prostate Cancer, Beer Brain Blues, Incontinence, and A Light at the End of Your Tunnel, which do you consider to be your greatest hit?
Oh, I think whoever they help is who is being makes it the greatest.
Okay, Doc, we're going to put you on the spot. Got to make a choice.
Pick your favorite.
Pick your favorite. Every songwriter has one.
My favorite? I like the fat rap. Are those ones that you talked about? Probably Light at the End of Your Tunnel, because colon cancer is the second biggest cancer.
Very good.
Yeah, Light at the End of Your Tunnel. That's a good one.
That's very poetic.
And now the last hit that we'll play by the doc. Here is his the one he asked to hear. Prostate cancer. All the kids are calling to request this.
If you're a man and you are 50, there are two things you must do. First is let your doctor do a prostate check on you. Second, get a blood test for PSA.
Yeah.
1/3 of all men's cancer can be found that way.
Second.
Don't be frightened when doc says drop your britches, son. The secret to survival is early detection.
Now we don't have the fat rap here. Is there any chance you could sing that for us?
I'll do that for you.
All right, let's hear a little of the fat rap.
The live performance.
There you go.
Fat rap. Here we go.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. You feeling kind of hungry, thirsty too. You open the cupboard, you look for something to chew. You grab a bag of candy and another bag of chips, and then you open the fridge.
Can you imagine getting in the stirrups for this idiot?
You sit down on the couch and really? You turn on your TV.
Buzz, shut up. I'm talking to the women out there.
And all day long you're sitting on your big old butt, and you're looking at your stomach thinking, man, I got a gut. Hey, how you look ain't the problem, Jack. It's just unhealthy being fat. I can make it any clearer than that.
I wouldn't let him touch my ex-wife. Are you kidding?
Did you know that 1 in 3 Americans struggle with obesity? They got a high blood pressure and heart disease and high blood sugar called diabetes. Turn off your computer. Turn off your TV. Go easy on the...
You think Frank Sinatra would have liked these songs?
Yes. I don't know. After the beer brain and this, I'm getting depressed.
Ride on your bike. Work out at the gym. How you look ain't the problem, Jack. It's just unhealthy being fat. I can't make it any clearer than that. It's unhealthy being fat.
Wow.
That's a fat rap.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo,
yeah,
doctor.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Let me mention your health. Your website is healthrock.com. We'll put a link up on our website, DonnaMikeWebsite.com. And, doctor, we'd like to have you on anytime that you write more songs, more hit songs.
You want to debut a new one on the show? You have an open invitation, doctor.
Maladies. We'd love it.
Here, I'm going to call you guys, and I'll get you some new stuff.
Very good, doc.
All right, doctor. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on. Have
okay.
a great day.
You got it.
You too.
Bye.
See you later.
That's Maish Seibel.
Bye, man.
Very good.
Melodies for Maladies.
Mm-hmm. Let me hear that come out of a jingle.
Don and Mike, WKFK.
Vaginitis makes you itch at night.
And you like me, this is your favorite.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
Odor,
I like this one too.
Mike, a hit record is a hit record is a hit record.
You may think yeast is what it must be, but two out of three times you're wrong, you've got BV.
I mean, I'm sure it sounds good out of a shotgun. Oh, let me cue this.
If vaginitis makes you itch at night.
How about out of our jock sing jingle? Hold on.
The Don and Mike Show. WKFK.
If vaginitis makes you itch.
Tony, man, if it sounds good out of a jingle.
You know the nice thing about a big successful gynecologist, a doctor? It doesn't hurt him that much when you say, don't give up your day job.
What it must be.
Sing it, Doc.
But two out of three times you're wrong, you've got BV.
BV.
BV is bacterial vaginosis.
BV, Mike.
Sounds nasty, doesn't it?
pH caused the diet.
BV is very close to VD.
Very, very much so.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of his point. But,
you know, big neck.
Anyway, that's the singing doctor, Dr. Mache Seibel.
Mache Seibel. Thank you, Doctor.
Mache Seibel.
It's very nice having you on the show.
HealthRock.com.
There you go.
That's a sign.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you. So it was Frank Sinatra Jr., then it was the singing doctor.
It's a strange show we have, Don.
It sure is, Mike.
What could possibly be coming up?
How about Robert Millman? Oh, yeah! Oh. Is he going to sing?
That's what I was thinking.
I think we're, you know what? I think we need...
a palate cleanser?
Yeah, we need something between that segment and Robert. Oh,
okay.
Hold on, I know. Who doesn't love Billy Bush? Billy Bush.
Yeah, that'll clean our palate.
Speaking of vaginitis, we'll talk to Billy in a second, okay?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, pull over. I got to use the John.
Why don't you go when we drop Spence off?
I didn't have to go then. Excuse me for not having a prostate!
All right, Dad, there's a Dairy Queen. Go knock yourself out.
Okay, after I pee, anyone want a soft serve?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hughes-tastic. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, MT Hughes.
Yeah.
Mount Hughes. That's an awful job, isn't it? Mount Hughes. He's the general manager, you know. Just a tool. Let's see. Wednesday, Thursday. Friday is Rich Eisen Day on the show.
Right.
Rich Eisen from NFL Total Access, which is sponsored by Tower and Tower.com. That one has a bigger selection of music and movies that you love. Now, let's talk to Billy Bush. From Access Hollywood, that's tonight here in D.C., NBC 4 at 7:30. Around the country, check your listings. It's normally on the NBC station. It's normally at 7:30 or 6:30 if you're in the Midwest. Hi, Billy.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
Yo, Billy Bush, yeah!
Nancy's changing one door away from me.
Oh, wow.
Into a new outfit. Should I tell you? Said, Nancy?
Nancy's dressing.
Nancy, the fellas want to know what you're changing into.
Billy.
You know, we'll pause for that.
Sure.
We have a sliding pocket door between our dressing rooms.
Oh, that, do you really? You know what we like.
I leave a small crack in it, just
so to speak.
So anyway, fellas, you've heard all this news, right?
Yeah.
Terrible news about Dick Clark.
Now, Billy, you know us, so I won't even put this in audition. I'll play it for you right to your face. When we mentioned this, because Beth Ann said Access Hollywood called us before the show,
yes.
We had this from Dick Clark.
Grease is good.
That's terrible.
What did he say?
Well, it's Kirk Douglas, and we're all going to go to hell. That's all there is.
I'm not going with you.
I know. You're not. I know you're not expecting.
That's the last stop on the bus, and I get off right before.
Leviticus was the most important thing. Right.
So what is the deal?
Yeah, what is the
Suffered. I mean, he suffered a stroke 2 days ago.
It's Dick Clark we're talking about,
right?
But we don't know. I mean, he's 75 years old, and he's got diabetes. People forget that. And one of the risks of having type 2 diabetes is that there's stroke.
Right.
And heart disease.
Is there any update on it? I mean, how does anybody know exactly how he is doing? I mean, his strokes can be, of different severities. You never know.
Dick says minor. His last statement is that he says that the doctors tell me I should be back in the swing of things before too long, so I'm hopeful to be able to make it to Times Square and help lead the country. Dick is planning on doing the New Year's show. CBS News, on the other hand, is reporting that he will not be able to. I don't know.
Are they? Hey, now, Billy, I know that you've got to do your job on Access Hollywood. You've got to be nice with all these celebs. We've talked about you doing other stuff besides Access Hollywood. You know, certainly not this year, but some year in the future, would you aspire to have that gig, that Dick Clark gig, that New Year's Eve gig?
I don't know. I think if I was asked to do it, I would. I'd certainly look at it. I mean, I don't. It's not something I've longed to do.
But you do it.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Sure. And I'll say this: it was a slow stroke that Dick Clark had, but it had a good beat. I'd give it a 75.
There you go. There's a little American Bandstand humor for you there.
Okay, so, but he's going to be okay.
He's going to be fine, just the fact that he's got diabetes, and that's all it is a minor stroke, is pretty amazing. I thought Dick would be like 150 before he caught a cold. The guy's an Iron Man.
Right. And the other thing on Access Hollywood, pleased to be telling us about Lindsay Lohan. I think she's cute enough. I don't get the fact that she has a record out now, Billy, is that right?
Yeah, it's called Speak.
Okay, and who is this, the guy that she's involved with? Hold on.
You mean the guy she broke up with, Wilmer?
Yeah, her friend.
He plays Fez on
that 70s show.
Right, that's how I know the guy.
Yeah, he's on the 70s show.
The guy from that 70s show.
But she is, I don't know, I mean, it's almost, even Paris Hilton, she's got the heiress thing, the social, the party girl. Lindsay Lohan is a phenomenon. I'm amazed that you cannot pick up a tabloid without seeing this woman all over it. Maybe I'm out there. I don't get it.
I like
her. She's the new taste du jour here. Paris Hilton. First of all, Paris Hilton. I mean, she's on Barbara Walters' Most Fascinating People.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Listen, telling you.
When you really think about it, right?
I know I like to remain objective, and we had that whole disclaimer. Thank you, Don. But I mean, come on, Lindsay Lohan. She's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly now, virtually buck naked.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, she is cross-legged. Wait till you see this thing. Mm-hmm. I just got to look at it. It's on our show tonight. We'll show what it is. But I mean, she is sitting like a contortionist in the nude.
she's cute, and she
unloads on the magazine. She's very forward. She's giving. She'll talk about these things. I mean, I have her. I'm interviewing her on Monday. And she's coming into our set, sitting down exclusively here with me. So email your questions, fellas, and I'll get them answered. But
well, here's one question. Billy, have you interviewed her before in person?
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard her deny this on TV. Do you think she's had breast augmentation?
She denies it. She says, absolutely. She brings it up. I mean, last when I interviewed her one time on the set of Herbie Fully Loaded, she brought it up. She brought it up and said, and by the way, if you're going to ask me if my breasts are real, they are.
Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Oh, no.
Which gave me a full opening right there to say, of course I would not ask you that.
Right. Of course you wouldn't. So that's...
and there's, Serena Williams is another big story, fellas. There's some guy put out on the internet an interview that he claimed that he did with Serena with all these quotes in it.
It's a great... There's a great quote about dating brothers.
I dated black men, but they were just not suitable for marriage.
Huh. Wow. Man, that's going to cause some trouble.
Oh, hold on.
So she breaks down in tears here in front of our cameras. Did it yesterday, and so it's on tonight, and she's just... You know, she's distraught that she'd be saying things like that. You don't want to alienate entire African-American community in one swing.
Right. Hey, Billy, we just got a picture of that Lindsay Lohan that you were talking about. You want to take a look at that?
My.
Look at those legs.
Yeah, I mean, you are absolutely right.
All right, maybe I do understand why she's been in the tabloids.
Mm.
As an expert, how much of that went to the Photoshop? I don't know. I mean, I think she's young enough that you don't have to spend too much time in
it. 100% went to the Photoshop. As cute as she is and as young as she is, look at that. That's like airbrushed to the max.
I know.
Oh, she's cute, though. Watch Billy tonight, Access Hollywood.
There's
Billy,
all the information.
Is Nancy done dressing yet?
Let me know what. Let's see.
Let's
find it open.
She's got her corset on yet.
Yeah, exactly. You know her tricks.
Right.
Nancy, are you in there?
Her belt.
No, she's not in there.
What did they call those things back in the day? The virginity belt?
Chastity belt.
Chastity belt.
That's right.
Billy, you're the greatest.
Gentlemen, lots of love.
See you tomorrow.
Bye, Billy.
Goodbye, sweet boy.
Huggies.
Huggies.
That's good. Oh, my.
Wow. Billy Bush.
That is a pretty interesting picture there.
Yes, yeah,
it is.
He's good, isn't he, from Access Hollywood?
He's a lot of fun.
He's good. Stuff that Billy didn't have.
Oh, boy.
I got a thing from Fox Sports the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I get excited like you do when a package, when your jingle thing came.
Yeah, it's so exciting to get stuff in the mail, isn't it?
So a box, mm-hmm. and it's just addressed to me.
Yeah,
and it says Fox Sports.
Wow.
So I think, hey, it's my man JB coming through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, you know what it is? They sent me a copy of a videotape of a show that they're going to have on Fox Sports Network.
Okay.
And it is the World Championship Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
God.
Now,
about time. This might be the moment. I think we are at the end of civilization.
I have not been able to go through the entire tape yet.
Right.
It appears to be an hour of kids sitting across from each other at a table.
Playing rock, paper, scissors?
Rock, paper, scissors. Yes. Now,
well, I mean, how do they spice it up? Do they use real rocks?
No, they don't. But, right. Mike, it's the World RPS Society. And on this tape, you know, maybe I'll just bring the tape in tomorrow and
okay.
play it, although it won't translate. I guess
no.
I'm giving them a commercial here for
Fox. Do they say it out loud when they're doing it?
Yes, and they have announcers who talk in hushed golf tones. Some of the things that they said, for instance, when they had one guy that just went, paper, paper, paper. That's, as they whisper, they go, he's doing the move known as the bureaucrat.
Because it's paper,
paper, paper, paper.
Oh, my God.
If a guy, they had another guy who goes, rock, rock, rock.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's using the avalanche. And what do you think they call rock, paper, paper?
What?
Oh, that's the famous fistful of dollars.
No.
They really think.
I forget the rules. Paper covers rock.
Yes. Scissors cut paper, and rock smashes scissors.
I think so, yes.
That's roughly it.
For some reason, paper beats rock.
They think that this is going to be as popular as the celebrity poker shows on TV.
Only if
right.
Regis hosts it.
So anyway, the moron.
They're here with the fabulous rock, paper, scissors competition.
The moron that sent me the letter says, the strategies separate men from boys.
Yeah.
Don, and it's personalized. Uh-huh. Like, I know it's not going to 8,000 disc jockeys.
No, this
it's
is
like,
just to you.
It's like one of those catalogs you get at home where your name is squeezed in somewhere. Don. You think the game is easy, but international plays competitive. Don, this is a great game of strategy and intuition. Don, we're breaking forth a new sport here.
Yeah, all right.
And I'm dumb enough, I mentioned it.
Well,
so.
Are they asking you to invest?
Oh, no, this is not like slam ball, Mike.
Okay.
This is simply that.
You're glad you didn't get involved in that one, huh?
I still think it's got some potential. mentioned yesterday that John Travolta bought a Zeppelin.
Right.
And I'm hoping that every day now I can find something about John Travolta, who's one of my favorite movie stars.
Yeah, look at the Zeppelin with the Travolta.
But really is just full of himself and dumb. Listen to this. This is a quote I found on John Travolta's website. They asked him about Julia Roberts having twins, you know, because all those Hollywood people are. And when you get past this crap, and she's so good, and she'll be such a good mother.
Right.
John Travolta, this is from his website now, says, Julia Roberts helped John Travolta conquer his frequent trips to the bathroom in the middle of the night. This is from John Travolta's website.
Oh,
I'm not
God.
Making this up. Here's the go yourself.
I gotta look, go.
Here's the quote now, and you tell me how dumb John Travolta is. I told Julia Roberts I was worried because I kept seeing on TV they said it's bad if you got up three times in the night to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I would think for a young man, absolutely.
Yes. Julia Roberts said to me, John, don't drink water before you go to bed. And I thought about it. I used to drink a pitcher of water every night right before I went to bed.
Easy.
And then here's his quote. Hold on. That's why she's Julia Roberts.
Uh-huh.
It made so much sense.
She's a genius.
I'm not making this
good
up.
Oh, all right.
Go to JohnTravolta.com or whatever his dumb website is. Look at it yourself. The guy can't figure out why he's going to...
Dumb as a box of pizza.
Why he's going to the bathroom three times a night. So Julia Roberts says, don't drink water. He goes, oh...
Maybe I was, you know, I drink the water. I'm such a dimwit. Of course it's why I go. Kelly, Julia Roberts said don't drink the water, and I didn't have to go last night, did I?
Of course. Cher. Now, when I heard there was something about Cher, I thought it was going to be she's announcing another comeback tour.
Right.
Cher is now announcing that, no, she's not doing another comeback tour.
Okay.
And she wants you to know she's not going to pose nude when she's 60 in Playboy.
I think she should.
That's disappointing.
She says that's not true. You know who I did see the other day being interviewed about that, though, who I'd love to see? Is Susan Sarandon.
Sure.
And Susan Sarandon still looks... Well, I mean, hey, listen, go rent Bull Durham and see what I'm talking about. Who wouldn't want to see Susan Sarandon? Oh, she said she's been approached, and that... She got like one of those weird Hollywood things. Tim Robbins is not her husband, right? Just her boyfriend.
I think just, but they, you know, they're common law.
And they've got like 8,000 kids.
Right.
She said that Tim Robbins is cool with it, but that her sons... don't want to see her naked in a magazine.
Well, there's the reason right there. Who can blame her?
I'd like to see it, though.
The reason Cher won't pose is all her fans are gay. So,
no, I saw Susan Sarandon in a recent movie where she had a love interest, a younger love interest, and she still manages to look sexy. Two reasons, I think, more than any other. They still look good.
How old is she?
She's got to be like 55.
That's my guess. I was going to say 54.
And I think that she has some... I think it's like 54D is actually the way that you specify how old she is. She's not just 54. She's 54D.
54D.
She sadly has to get up three times in the night.
Ah, the lemons.
She does. They didn't have Desperate Housewives on last week. The ratings are out. CSI is number one. CSI Miami is number two. Then it's all just junk. It's Survivor, Raymond, that... stupid, the People You Meet in Heaven show.
I got suckered into that. You know me, Mr. Sentimental.
And it's my wife's laugh. Favorite, shared by Buzz, 2.5 Men.
Yeah, strong show.
Without a Trace, ER. What the hell's wrong here? Green Bay's on, and it's ninth place for Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
And Buzz?
Yes?
The 10th most popular show?
What is it?
You called it. Is that show Lost?
Lost. Strong show. And I understand they have a great one tonight, too. And I want to say something about 2.5 Men that people should check out. You guys should check out. Freeze frame the vanity card at the end of the show. That's where it says Chuck Lorre Productions.
Let me just point out here. This is the way Buzz watches TV.
Yeah. Like 2 inches away from the set.
You have to understand that when Buzz watches a show, he then re-watches it. He then watches it in slow motion, and on occasion, he watches frame by frame.
So you freeze frame the vanity card where it says Chuck Lorre Productions. It's black on white at the very end of the show. It's only up for maybe a second, so you've got to be tricky with the freeze frame. The guy is an insane genius, and every week, almost every week, has a new sort of diary entry that he writes about himself or his life or whatever, and you will only be able to read it if you go to his website or you freeze frame this particular vanity card. The guy is an insane genius. It's worth reading.
Okay. Sure. Chuck Lorre, another insane genius on a sitcom.
Rob is making...
How's your sitcom coming?
Really good.
Don't laugh. He's on the same one as you are, pal.
I know.
Mike.
Yes.
Lesbian or not.
Okay.
The two daughters on Roseanne. There was...
Yes.
Sarah... Okay, only one of them is, though.
No, my answer is simply yes.
There's Sarah Gilbert, the one with dark hair. Right.
Yes.
And then there's Alice... There was Darlene and...
Well, there were two Darlenes, weren't there? There was the first Darlene and the second Darlene.
There's the Darlene with blonde hair.
Yeah.
And there's the Darlene that's... which one of them is a lesbian?
Right. I would say the obvious choice would be Sarah Gilbert, but I'm going to go with the Darlene. I think she is.
The second one, the replacement
yes.
one.
Yes.
Oh, Buzz?
Oh, I hope it's Sarah Gilbert, because I love Sarah Chalk, the blonde.
It is Sarah Gilbert, the girl that was on 24 then.
Well, I was just going against the flow,
right?
So to speak.
She's a lesbian, and she's done one of those turkey baster things.
Oh, really?
She and her girlfriend
herself?
Have got one, so good for them. China. I love this. Chinese people are the greatest, you know, with all of Rob's disclaimers notwithstanding.
Sarah Gilbert, I just wanted to say, is an insane genius. Where do you hear that?
Here's the deal in China.
Uh-huh.
Gambling. Oh, thank you. Gambling is illegal.
All right.
Illegal. You can't have a poker game. You can't have a card game.
That amazes me because in Asian cultures, gambling is so important.
Now, the deal is this. I'm going to explain this to you the way it was explained to me. This is a truth. The government, the Chinese government, micromanages everything. You are not allowed to gamble. The reason is card games are bad for you. They teach you the wrong lessons in life.
Yes, you cannot learn the lessons if you play cards.
I agree.
There is only one situation in which the Chinese government will allow you to gamble. And that is at a wake. Because, and now here's the ancient Chinese figure, this is the great Chinese thinking, card game will keep mourners occupied while they pay their respects to the deceased. So
when somebody dies, they get to gamble?
Yes. And because this has become a big deal, Chinese mafia has gotten involved.
Sure.
The Chinese mafia is now approaching families to say, what we would like to do is pick up the cost of the funeral in return for you letting us set up a roulette wheel, a blackjack, and other games of chance.
How weird is that?
At the wake, which usually lasts, incidentally, in China, for up to 3 days.
Wow.
The mobsters, the Chinese Sopranos, come in, set up, and the people who just had somebody who died, they get a cut of the winnings.
How you doing?
They get a cut of the winnings. Police
is Wang Chung Soprano.
The police have no idea how to stop this.
Right.
Because
the whole play?
Hold on. What is this? Hold on. All these calls about the Roseanne girl or whatever. Neil.
Yeah, I'm not busting balls. I'm just letting you know it was Becky was the blonde who was replaced. Darlene was Sarah Gilbert.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha. Right. But we had
if I care.
Okay, thank you. I did have a picture here.
About it.
I did have a picture of both of those girls just so you could identify
Becky
them.
And Darlene.
I tried to do James Gandolfini with Chinese accent.
I noticed that, Mike.
It's hard to do.
Hello, Larry?
But hey, worth it.
Larry.
Hi.
Hey,
I just hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but Cher is actually doing a round 3 of the farewell tour.
Oh, you are kidding me.
No, it's actually, you're not going to believe it. It's called the Never Can Say Goodbye Tour. Swear to God.
You know, yeah. I swear to God, that bitch should get hit by a truck. Don't you think for all the times...
company there, my friend.
For all the times that she's come out and said, this is the last time I'm coming out.
I can never get enough Cher.
You know what? Not only that, I hear she's getting a jingle and saying, Cher!
Tracy, Don and my show. I love Tracy.
Hello, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, thanks.
I just want to let Mike know, or Buzz know, that Sarah Chalk is on Scrubs now.
Believe me, I know. I sit an inch from the screen every week.
Oh, she's on Scrubs, huh?
Yeah.
She does it for you?
Oh, man, she's smoking hot, especially on that show.
It's too bad they don't scrub her on that show.
Well, she plays a very ditzy doctor, but she's great.
All right. She is good.
A ditzy doctor. All right, thank you, honey.
Thank you.
All right,
bye.
See you later. Oh, I had one thing here. God, I lost a feel-good. Hold on. So many papers. Oh, Jesus Christ.
One of them.
Yeah, that's not the good one, Robbie. Where's the other one? Hold on.
Under the rock.
Well, oh, here it is.
Did you lose the whole tray?
I got it, Tony.
Wing Chun.
Okay, this is a holiday feel-good.
Oh, good.
We got some Christmas music, Rob?
That always helps.
This one doesn't involve children. Like yesterday, the feel-good was that a woman fell to her death right in front of Santa Claus in an department store, and a bunch of kids saw that.
Yeah.
This one doesn't involve kids, but it does involve employees at a store.
Mm-hmm.
No, I take it back, not even a store. In a hospital.
Oh.
There's a woman in a hospital, and she's gone in to have some tests done.
Okay.
This was just 3 days ago.
Okay.
She goes into the hospital. This is in Australia. She has the test done. The doctor says, everything's fine. Come back in a week. Woman says, thank you very much. She says, where's the ladies' room? They say, right down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
She goes into the bathroom, and that's, Mike, where you think the story ends.
Yeah.
This was just last week, so they had the Christmas decorations up. The woman died when she was on the toilet. They're not
like
sure.
The guy in The Sopranos.
They're not sure exactly what killed her.
Yeah.
But what's the good feel-good here is that her body sat sat on the toilet, her dead body,
yeah,
for 5 days.
Oh, my God.
Wasn't until they were putting up the Christmas decorations. When they went past the bathroom, uh-huh, one of the custodians said, and now keep in mind, this is in a doctor's office.
Right.
One of the custodians says, dude, something smells behind that door.
Oh, my God.
They go into the bathroom, and here's a woman who has been dead
for 5 days
since she went into the doctor's office, and he told her there was nothing wrong with her.
Yeah, come back in a week.
The doctor says, uh-huh, that he's not really sure what killed the woman. What the doctor is upset about is the fact that there's a sign on the back of the door that they're supposed to sign 3 times a day saying, this bathroom has been cleaned. And what's the best about this is that it was initialed for all 5 days.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, most likely they didn't go in and see her there.
Yeah,
but
no. That's the wacky holiday.
But how could you not even smell that?
Slackers? Oh, boy, somebody died in here. Aussie slackers.
That's a feel-good.
Good night, Mike.
God, that's a feel-good. Hello, Laura, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don, Mike, Buzz. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, Laura.
Hey, I was just calling. You were talking about the gambling in China.
Oh, yes.
I lived in Japan for 6 years. My husband was in the military. And gambling is illegal in Japan also. And they get around it by, they have these machines. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're called pachinko machines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. I've seen those, yeah.
Yeah, so they have these big, huge pachinko parlors. So you go in and you purchase the balls that go in the machine, and then you play the game. And when you're done, you take all the balls that you've won, and you go up to a desk. And they trade in your balls. Depending on how many you get, they give you like a little toy.
That's great.
Like a plastic toy.
I don't care what the toy was. I wouldn't trade in my balls.
I was gonna say, Frida could be a big winner at that game. She's always got plenty.
Yeah, but aren't most of those broken?
Yeah, and Mike, they're hard to replace. They're really hard to replace. Yeah. Billy, my knees are killing me right now.
Ah, pachinko machine.
I barely stand up. Laura, we got a break. Thank you.
Okay.
We have to go. There's a very angry black man in a very tight-fitting, almost looks to be an amphibious type of jumpsuit, a wetsuit that he's wearing today.
Oh, dear.
Yes, it's Bobby Mailman.
Yeah, it's been a long time since our last visit.
And he's mad because he's been bumped, I think, from the show at least 4 times. And I think the last time he was bumped, Robbie, was when you got ripped torn.
Yeah, you're Rip Taylor.
Rip Taylor. I'm sorry, the fan called about and said you're being bumped today for Rip Taylor.
Well, you know, he's only good when he's angry.
Well, he's plenty angry. And like I say, he's wearing some type of goddamn wetsuit.
Wow. It's not like that purple jumper, is it?
No, but Mike, you can see everything.
Oh, no!
Yeah, so we'll have Bobby Mailman when we come right back, everybody.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Homosexuals are trying to compare their plight with the plight of black men or black people. In the process of history, homosexuals have never been castrated. Millions of them never died. Homosexuality is a decision.
That's right.
It's not a race. And when you look at it, people from all different ethnic backgrounds living this lifestyle. But people from all different ethnic backgrounds also are liars and cheaters. And malicious. And backstabbing.
That's right.
We're in sin. And because this nation is in sin, God will judge it if we don't get it right.
Yeah. The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Once again, a black man.
That's right. Two dazzling urbanites, Don and Mike.
Right, okay, bring him in.
How did I fail women's study? I love bitches.
Oh, no. There he is.
No, he's got his Once again, off. A black man.
He's got his shirt off. Robert Mailman.
I helped him with that.
And a briefcase. He's got videos. He's got notes. He's got no shirt on. Bobby, why don't you have a shirt on? What are you doing?
My wetsuit is on backwards.
Oh, dear.
He is wearing a wetsuit.
Yeah. So
why are you wearing a wetsuit?
I'll just let you know, I have my little jet ski, and I like to show off my physique to the ladies in the back.
Sure.
I even got a dollar from Judy in the back, so.
Oh, Julie gave you a dollar? God.
Now he's taking up his whitey whitey.
And you mentioned to me that you asked Buzz to help you.
Yeah, Buzz helped me out. Thank you,
I helped peel him out of that wetsuit.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
I couldn't get it off.
Hi, Bobby Mailman.
Hi. Who are you? How you doing?
Hi, I'm Don.
How you doing, Don? You are?
I'm Mike Robert.
Mike.
Nice to meet you.
What's this place again?
That's
your name,
Rob.
Sir?
Oh, I'm your best friend, Rob.
How you doing, Rob?
Your old buddy, Rob.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Good to see you.
What is this place again?
This is WJFK in Washington, D.C., home of the Don and Mike Show, Robert.
Oh, this is the Don and Mike
Show.
Yeah,
that's you're right. On the Don and Mike Show right now.
Is that what I'm on right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get sarcasm.
Wow. So what's the problem, man?
Because you got bumped a couple times?
I get bumped for lame. I'm sorry. Let me slow down. I want to be part of the mainstream.
Pull the microphone up so we can hear you.
I want to be part of the mainstream Don and Mike Show now.
And you are, Robert.
No, but you know, I'm from the old school where it was a different time, different place.
But you've made the transition.
And I'm trying to find out what my place is in the new mainstream.
Well, you've been on the new show.
Yeah, getting my ass cheeks rubbed by a pedophile.
He's talking about the day he came in for the
massage.
The massage.
Are you calling me a pedophile?
Yeah, I'm underage. Can't you speak?
Yeah, right.
Let me do my impersonation of Marilyn Monroe.
I think we're seeing it.
So you were
happy birthday, Mr. President.
He's wound up.
What's wrong with him?
It's been a long time.
Happy birthday to you.
Any chance you can put that back on while you're in here?
Your shirt?
The wetsuit?
Does it bother you?
Totally.
We're all men here.
In a huge way. In an enormous way,
okay,
though.
You want me to put it on?
Yeah,
okay,
put it on. Thank you.
Let me put on my wetsuit.
This might be. We might be here a while for this.
And while he's doing that, maybe someone's got a catcher's that I could borrow.
I bet if you took your shirt off, you got a couple of C's over there too, pal.
Smaller than yours, dude.
Whatever, man. Whatever. I can flex.
Robert is touching his.
Yeah. Oh, man, baby.
Once again, a black man.
Career to fall back on.
Today I bought, I bought Adult Fare.
Okay.
I won't mention titles.
Magazine.
Okay.
But I got a shipment in over the weekend, fellas. I got Asian. I got Spanish. I got great Spanish.
Latino.
Blank.
He's talking about seasonings.
Yeah. What about you, the lesbian? Now we can talk about this in our new format. Finally were with a lesbian.
What? Now it's been a dry spell. I admit it. From the last time I was on, I was with a heavyset woman, and it didn't work out right. I didn't like it.
Huh.
So I told myself, no more fat chicks. I mean, this chick was fat.
How fat was she?
She was so fat that I had to climb on top of her, and it was 10 degrees colder on top than it was on bottom.
That's big.
He came to play.
Good.
How fat was she?
Yeah.
I saw a goat and a holy man on the way up to the top. That's how fat she was. And when I finished, I tried to roll off, but I was still on top of her.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, so she was glad.
Good for you.
I could not take it. So I said, Robert, I'm tired. You know what it is?
What is it, Robert?
It's about what I said last time. It's the BBW, Big Beautiful Women.
Yeah.
It's a black thing. You go to the website, and all you see is these websites, Black Planet, Black Voices, BBW, Big Beautiful Women.
All right.
Let me tell you something, Dr. Mike.
Okay.
There's only one thing in nature that is big, black, and beautiful.
And that is?
That's a killer whale. On its stomach is SeaWorld with its tongue out so you can pet it or jump it through a goddamn flaming hoop.
Are you saying that you're not on board with the whole big, black, and beautiful thing?
I'm not on board with anything big. You were black, but you know, in society.
You were into fat chicks.
Yeah, and I took care of a lot of them.
Why this change of heart?
Because the last time I told you guys, I was with this heavyset woman, and Jimmy Johnson. He quit.
Wasn't interested.
Quit on me.
Really?
Brother Man quit on me.
Understand.
And he was like, I'm tired
because
of this.
Because she was fat and weren't able to perform?
So disgusting.
Because you need a little blue pill?
No, I don't need a blue pill.
You don't need a blue pill?
More on that later.
Is that the first time that had happened?
Yeah. And that's scary. That's scary to me.
That is.
Because,
you're not getting any younger, Robert. You know,
I am black, so that kind of...
Mm-hmm. That makes it a push.
Exactly.
That out.
Exactly. So I stopped. I said, no more horn, no more fat chicks. So there was a dry spell there. I didn't get none for a long time.
Is your theory that black guys, older black guys can do a better job than older white guys? Is that what you were saying?
Pretty much anything, Mike.
Anything? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Anything we put our minds to, we can do better than older white
guys. Really?
Really?
Yeah.
What about working? What about working on the stock market?
I have a 401k.
He's just
He's giving you an investment?
He's giving you a gesture.
See my investment? So, anyway.
Yes, Robert. You were saying.
Yes,
right. Okay.
In society right now, there's this thing called fat acceptance. Fat people want to be accepted.
Sure.
But there's one group that wants to go overboard with it, and that's the sisters. The fat sisters not only want you to accept them, but they want to put it out there like they're pretty, and they're not.
It's now you're gonna get a lot of hate calls on this, Robert.
I'm gonna help you on this. I'm gonna help you on this. Star Jones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, look at that. Now you would not see that is not the most sickness.
Yeah, she's disgusting.
Well, she lost a lot of weight for her wedding.
But she went to a strip club and got on a pole trying to learn how to please her.
Did she pull it out of the ceiling?
Yeah. And went down two floors and stabbed a Chinese man in the laundry.
He's trying to please her gay husband.
You know, okay, so like I said, I cut myself off. But, you know, I started chatting again. I started meeting women.
Sure.
So in the last 3 months, Black Moses has come back strong as ever.
Back from the dead.
With
thin women.
Once again.
Thin women.
A black man.
Even with a couple of hussies. But.
Hussies?
My best conquest.
Please to define hussies.
Yes, please.
Hussies are loose women, but not that loose.
Okay.
They always claim that they've never done this before.
But not pros.
I'm going to tell you something. I got a great scoring record for first date sex.
Okay.
I have a great record. I'm battling.
When I said pros, though, I mean, it's not. When
no,
you
no,
say hussies,
not hoes.
Not hoes.
Okay. Hussies. You know, they don't get paid.
Hussies.
How about
they're
that?
Just women that get around a little bit.
See, now you accept my nudity. You haven't said a word in about 5 minutes.
Well, your subject matter is just riveting.
Okay, so.
But now I'm paying attention to it.
So, I've been dating a lot. And I got a little plethora of women's coming through the crib.
Uh-huh.
I got the candlelights and the Luther and this giant screen and the aquariums and the incense.
When the segment's over, I'm going to have fond memories of it.
So I had this once, a buddy hooked me up with this girl.
Uh-huh.
And she was
me too, Mike. You know why?
Why?
Tit for tat.
Yeah.
She was complaining that she was fat. So
right.
I'm like, oh, God, I don't want a fat chick.
You don't want to hear
but
that.
But when she got there, a pleasant surprise, she went like 20 pounds overweight. Pretty girl.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Now, but she told me before I get started, I have a big revelation.
What?
So we're talking in smooth drinks, sitting on a love seat.
Yeah.
And she says, before you get started, because I like you, I have something to say.
Uh-huh.
I said, what's going on?
She said your breath is bad?
My last relationship was with a woman.
Oh, my. Oh.
The last 6 years I've been with a woman. Uh-huh. Is that a problem? And I said, no. It's not a problem.
Right. What is that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, of course
you got excited.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. I don't know what I can say now.
Hey, you're back in business.
I'm back in business.
Back in business.
All right. Don't handle the microphone. You're making all sorts of rumbling.
So I handle her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with kissing a little.
So you that turned you on when she said that.
Exactly.
All right.
Now, my revelation. You gotta play that goddamn music every time
I hit
you. I want to so bad. You know,
Robert, I actually specifically requested this chair for you. Why don't you sit down and relax? Really, take a load off.
Don, I like standing up talking because, you know, it gives my nether regions air.
Oh,
and it feels better.
Oh,
yeah, man.
Anyway, so
mm-hmm.
We're on the love seat and we're making out and she's doing the hussy move. This has never happened before. I'm turned on. Next thing you know, Black Moses back in the house.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So
now.
Congratulations on that.
I scored. Yeah. Great. Fine. I'm thinking things.
Mm-hmm.
We're working backwards. I already got the, you know, the loving.
Uh-huh.
So now we can go out. Because she's a pretty girl, young, 28.
Right.
So I, being honest to a fault, and you guys will know this for a while, I'm an atheist. So
I don't remember that.
I told you I don't believe in God, and all religious people are stupid.
Right. So, I've heard that before.
Right. All religious people are
stupid.
I
think it's safe to say we've got some people interested in this segment.
Please. Either you're flying a plane in the building or you're killing an abortion doctor. All of y'all are nuts. There is no God.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go there. But, however, for black, that's another time, another day.
That's right. It's why you're the most beloved guest we have on this show.
I'm
going
to tell you the truth, though.
All right.
The fact that I'm an atheist has caused me more relationships with black women
mm-hmm.
than having an AIDS-affected booger on the tip of my nose.
You mean when you say it's caused you, women have left you because of your beliefs?
Yeah, black women are the most religious nutbags.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised the 20th hijacker wasn't a sister with a tambourine. Because they are like that. They are nutbags. Wow. Second to the Taliban,
not
black
to generalize.
Women.
So you're endearing yourself to many large black women in our audience.
True.
Your new lesbian, is she a sister?
Yeah. She's religious.
And she's religious.
So the next, I told her, that was my revelation. I'm an atheist, but I like you, and we already done the deed, so let's hook up.
Okay.
So she goes home, she calls her back.
I had a great time, loved it. The next day, I'm religious, and what if I ask you to say a prayer for me? What will you do? Oh, my head will start spinning, and I'll start spitting the blood. What do you think, bitch? You know,
I'm now, now wait, man. What do you mean? What are you getting upset about? She asked you to say a prayer. What?
No. She was saying, "What if?"
Yeah.
She asked me to say a prayer. For
yeah.
Me.
Right.
I said, "Number one, you know, I'm an atheist, so if your dumb ass shouldn't ask me to say a prayer for you."
If she asked you, ask. To
man,
say,
no, say, you know what's in this briefcase?
He's got something in the
you
don't briefcase. Want to know. What do you I think I know what's in that briefcase.
Is there a gun in
I know what, I know what the kind of briefcase that is.
You know what it is.
What is it?
Let me put your white. I know I was told not to bring up the white black thing on the show.
Right.
This ease your mind.
Yeah.
This is.
Oh, poker chips.
Las Vegas.
Why'd you bring in a metal briefcase full of poker chips?
Well, this is what it comes in.
Remember the poker game we were supposed to have about 2 years ago, and you both smoke up my ass about fixing the basement. Now you got to clean the bathroom. So I went upstairs and I asked a couple. I'm trying to get a poker game. I don't care about your house. I just want to play poker.
Okay.
You know, but that's. You know, that's you piss me off. We'll talk about you in the bathroom. Because you really upset me about the poker game. You know, well, my wife's making some stuff in the basement. Is the basement finished?
The basement? The basement is not finished yet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Let me just say this. The basement is finished for white guests.
you said don't bring up the white black thing.
I know it. I'm kidding.
Okay.
And you know why I said that? Only because you can't keep it in your pants when we discuss. When we discuss race, you take it to a level that was uncomfortable for us before.
Really?
Yes, because of a...
But you always liked it.
Yeah,
I was in the bathroom. You patted me on the back.
I know you did.
Yeah. Robert, and he was like, great Robert, show. You did a great
you
job.
You do great segments. But now you just, you know, come on. We're not in a black area.
I haven't said the word N-word. I haven't said the word. Let me see.
They are nice poker
chips. I do have Robert the problem-solving mailman.
You do have what?
I have a segment called Solving the Problem. I got a great one. It's kind of old, but you'll like it. I know you'll like it.
All right, you want to take some calls for Robert?
Sure.
That he points at Don says, I know you'll like
it. So the lesbian broke up with me because of the spiritual thing.
Okay.
Right.
Here is Stanley. Stanley, you're on the air with Robert Mailman. Oh, hold on. There you go. Hey, Stanley.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Okay.
The black chick that you banged, Don, was she fat? Was she the Saw Jones variety?
You know, well, no, here's the thing. I don't talk about sex anymore on the show. It's not what we do. But if you're talking about one of the three or four black women that I've had of being within my lifetime, I would say only one was a plumper.
Mm-hmm.
Only one was a plumper.
All right,
and she was a plumper like, remember Beverly Burke? They used to work at Channel 9.
Right, yes.
She was fat like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, nice. The last couple of weeks I've been doing very well. I met a young lady and we hit it off, and she's been spending the weekend.
Is this the one that asked you to pray?
No, this is another
new one.
After the lesbian, I met another chick.
Jeez.
And after that,
here is John. Hold on, John.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
All right, yourself?
Hey, good. I got a couple questions for you.
Hurry up.
I wanted to find out if your anger stems from really being bumped off the show, or if it has to do with the fact that your massage from Mike didn't include a happy ending.
Now, that's uncalled for, sir.
You stop.
We're getting into dangerous territory.
I'm not
going
to go there about the massage because you know why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Airtime.
I thought it was a good one.
Airtime.
That's the only reason I did it.
I'm comfortable with that.
I was ashamed. I was embarrassed.
You
I didn't
want both.
To do it. You know I didn't want to do it.
He's a showman.
But he knows that.
Do you avoid products? Do you avoid products with advanced whitening? Like if there's a toothbrush.
Now.
You asked me
that's why you're a bad kid. I just had to delete that out.
I'm sorry.
I had to delete that out.
Sorry.
Bad kid.
I'm sorry.
I
use black toothpaste, if you want to know. How about that? Is that cool? Black and green toothpaste with a fist on it. Are you happy now?
Yes, I'm ecstatic now, Robert.
All right.
Here's Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Robert, I want to play poker.
Hey, man, I'm trying to get a game together. See, Don doesn't want to be over there.
I've been trying to get a game together, and all my friends keep, quitting, too. Nobody wants to play.
Yeah. Well, they had a tournament up in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago, which was legal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Buying 200, first prize, $10,000, and I did okay. I didn't win, but it was a nice little poker tournament.
Oh, good.
And I would tell Don about it, but Don, you guys, I would love to play poker. I just want to play cards.
Robert, I have not
played... Why don't we do it after the holidays?
I have not played poker yeah. for 2 years.
No, I mean poker. It. I'm not... I mean
he
it.
Don't want, he really doesn't want me at his house. It ended with Mr. 40.
No.
It started and ended with Mr. 40.
It did not start and end with
and
Mr. 40.
And his N-word repairman. See, I was nice. N-word repairman. Like, you haven't heard about
oh,
him?
The guy that, oh, the guy that said that to me.
Right. How about
what?
This?
What?
Whatever
standing up again.
To,
whatever happened to what?
Whatever happened to the slave chasing organization that was in your neighborhood? Did Bart partake?
Oh.
There was no...
What's
remember the posters
about?
You saw in the
oh,
woods?
Oh, you mean where they were reenacting?
That leadership.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? I don't know what happened with that, Robert.
That was a reenactment. That was a reenactment.
That was a leadership... You adult
listen, that's
slave catching
that was
right. in the backyard of Don's
that
neighbor.
Was supposed to teach people the sensitivity.
How to catch N-word.
No.
Hold on. Here is
how to keep the black man down.
No
way.
Here is Dan. Dan, you're on the air with Robert.
How do you know what it was?
Hey,
when you wanted to?
I want to ask Robert.
Come on, people.
Okay, you can't say that.
You gotta end
come
that.
On now.
You gotta end that right there, Robert.
I'm sorry.
I'll have you in for another segment.
I got fun facts about Rob.
Fun facts about Rob Spielberg.
Oh, he good. Knows. He knows.
Oh, so you actually got some prepared material.
What else? I got plenty of
what else?
Gay anyway. Revelations. My other gay revelations.
Other gay revelations.
Really huh. embarrassing.
Okay, Robert the Mailman's
and it's
other.
Clean. It's clean.
Gay revelations. Okay.
Gay very revelations.
Good. What else you got?
Why I voted for Bush.
You voted for Bush?
Why? I told you that.
Wow, you are an ass.
Watch your mouth.
You voted for Bush?
Yeah. I mean, no reason.
Listen, what is the reason?
You don't want to go into it right
what is,
now.
No. Because God
because
knows.
I'm a black what's, man, I'm supposed to vote for the Democrat?
Uh-huh.
Where are you going? Where are
yeah.
you going at?
Yeah.
Where are you
right.
going at?
That's kind of where I'm going.
We were counting on
what's
it.
What's that?
Big announcement.
A big announcement, it says.
You know what? You bastard. You're, probably
bastard.
You're probably the reason my guy lost.
No, I'm not the reason your guy... You know why he lost?
Why?
Well, actually, the funny thing about it, your show used to be in the blue states. Now it's headed toward the red states.
Yeah.
Ha ha, got you.
The last time
you're
I did
cleaned
the...
up.
No, the show used to be in the red states.
No, the
now
show used to be in the blue states. Now it's going toward the red states.
Either way...
No, it was the voted for Bush in the last election.
No, I'm talking about this show.
The show is still number one no matter what
I'm glad for you.
State
it's
is.
The mainstream. You cleaned up. You're getting
this
great
show. That's not going into the red states.
Yes, it is.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
How do you, as a black man, how do you look yourself in the mirror and say, I voted for George Bush?
There's a lot of black folks voted for Bush.
11% of the black population voted
for
Bush.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Well, then that means
you learn something every day.
89%. That voted for...
I told you over the phone I was voting for Bush.
Yeah.
Why?
Nice.
You asked me.
Yeah, he did.
You asked
that.
Me and,
Why did you vote for him? Tell me again. Refresh my memory.
I didn't tell you why.
Well, then tell me why now. Why did you vote for him?
This. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, number one, I hate all religious people. Okay?
Right.
I hate Bush. I do.
Bush,
I really
Bush,
hate,
brought,
I hate Bush
brought religion into
I
the
hate
election.
Bush. I hate Bush.
Okay.
But I hate Muslims more. I hate what 9/11 did to us. I'm an angry male man. I'm a black man. Okay, so I looked at 9/11 from different perspectives than the white man.
Civil
okay?
servant.
And I thought about it for a year.
Yeah.
What did the white man do, or America, to deserve 9/11? And for the life of me, there's no reason.
Right.
There's no reason for it. I mean, if you hate the government so bad, you hate America so bad, declare war, walk up on the beach and get shot like an honorable person.
Uh-huh.
But to fly planes in the building and to kill all those people, that's bull.
I agree,
number
but,
two, and number two.
But why is that a white black thing?
Personal.
You're saying with black
personal.
People, it's
those,
white
those,
and black.
Those towel-headed bastards that flew that plane to the Pentagon, there were four black kids headed to L.A. for a scholarship conference.
Right.
And they
right.
flew that plane to, why? You know,
where
Muslims,
does this get to Bush?
Muslims are
why did you
the
vote
white
for
trash
Bush?
Of
where does
planet?
This get to Bush?
Why did you
because
vote for
I
Bush?
I think, Bush, you need a crazy man.
You think he's tougher on
crazy
you think he's tougher and he's...
Okay. Okay. All right. All Kerry did...
Thank you. You've summarized
all
it.
All Kerry did was tell you what you wanted to hear. Kerry had no plan. He was weak.
I
he was a wuss.
I just
Bush
agree,
is an idiot.
I have to stand your point.
Bush is an idiot.
All right.
But he has a plan.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be controversial.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Give me the chips again. Feel the chips.
There you go. Nice chips.
Are nice chips.
Those poker right, chips rock.
I'm sorry that I upset you guys.
You didn't upset me.
Was,
no.
I really...
Just told me why you voted for Bush.
Well,
I understand.
A lot of people voted for Bush
what
for
you're
the
saying
same
is
reason.
If we get in a fight, even though he's a stupid guy, you'd rather have
exactly.
him leading.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. I mean, I thought about it a long time.
You let your whole yeah. race down, though.
No,
for
I
goodness
didn't.
Sakes. You
no,
let every black person in America down.
My man boobs hanging out.
Right.
You want to see if I squirt milk on you?
Now stop it! You and Michael Powell. That's nice. That's good.
Come on, man. Both I don't, you guys don't equate me with Michael
line up,
Powell.
Line up next to Bush.
I am the hardest core brother you'll ever meet. I sued the post office for racism. I had the black fist in the back of my hair and the comb. Okay? I had the afro. So don't give me that. Okay?
Oh, George Bush. You I love you so
there.
Much
you
now, George
we
Bush.
Going there. You said we weren't going there. I haven't gone to black-white room.
You know, no, I didn't.
It's red
but
blue.
Listen,
I told you I was voting for Bush.
But you have to imagine my surprise.
Why are you surprised, man?
I don't remember
I'm
what
a thinking,
you said.
Man. I'm not just an angry man.
I'm
going to
take a walk around the block.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay, when we come back,
cool off.
When we come back, you've got some prepared material.
Yeah. Okay. Gay revelations.
You're listening to Robert the Angry Mailman.
Fact about Rob. Uh-huh. And Robert the Problem Solving Mailman. Back to the stuff you like. Degrading my people. You'll like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's what I love. Degrading your people.
In the bathroom. I love the way you talk about Newman.
Yeah, that's exactly what I say in the bathroom. That's right. I say, hey, Robert, how you doing? God, I hate blacks. Great appearance today. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I say to you in the bathroom.
You slap me on the back, and it's a little too hard sometimes.
No.
It's almost like, why are you in here, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, didn't you see the sign?
Yeah.
Wrong door.
On your car, too.
Oh, God. Robert. Yeah, leave. Get out now. Go bother Beth Ann for a couple minutes. We'll give you another segment.
In his wetsuit.
Can you please put a T-shirt on or something?
What is wrong?
Because you're
a man here. There's four men here.
I know.
He takes his shirt off. He's got man mitts.
Mike has not taken his shirt off for a long time.
I feel comfortable in here.
It's a Mandingo
thing.
Not
pressured. You know. I feel natural.
I'm not succumbing.
All right, Robert, get out of here. Right. We got to.
Thank you, Robert.
We'll come back with your one more break of whatever he's got. One more break of whatever he's got.
He's gone now.
He's got all of his. You can see his underwear.
No, I don't want to see your underwear. Come on.
See his underwear on the back. And why again is he wearing a wetsuit?
Hey, because he just wants to show off his physique.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He voted for Bush.
I don't know.
He told us that on the air?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I don't remember.
And he has the reasons that a lot of people did. And, yeah. You know, it's Robert, and he's controversial.
Okay, he's got some prepared stuff, and we'll talk to him when we come. You know, God, we should not have him on this close to Christmas. Only because I am now really in not a Christmas mood.
Oh, he might. You know, he surprises you. He might put you in the Christmas spirit when he tells you about Rob's things. This could change.
Okay. We'll be back with Robert Gilman, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Take that out. It smells like
Has this ever happened to you? You have a load of beer cans, stolen car parts, drug paraphernalia, rib bones, and tattoo needles that could sink a landfill. And a regular trash bag can't hold that crap. It'll just break.
Clean that shit up! How are we gonna sleep on the floor, huh?
Bags. They're double packed to handle the type of garbage that only white trash can dish out.
Hey, this thing weighs a ton.
I told you your grandmother died.
Hey, look, it's not lifting or dripping or nothing.
White trash bags. In one ply, two ply, and how the f*** did you get it in their ply?
The Don and Mike Show.
Noted Caucasian, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Right. Once again, a black man. Back with Bobby Mailman.
Yeah.
He's fully clothed. He's got his mailman shirt on now.
I'm really embarrassed.
You're embarrassed, why? Because you're dancing with the Beatles? Yeah.
Dancing white.
They're pretty good for white guys, aren't they?
No, they suck.
The Beatles? You don't like the Beatles?
I hated them.
They hated them.
All right. Is there anything you don't have an opinion on, Robert?
Your restaurant.
Oh, Hank's Look Around Cafe.
You thanks. Yeah, he finds those nerves, doesn't he? Yeah. Notice how I got quiet.
All right, Bobby, we're coming up on Buzz's News Time, so let's go rapid fire through your prepared material.
Okay. Fun fact about Rob, I'm his mailman.
Okay. And hold on. I should tell you something that is true. Rob has called me and said, that there's been more than one occasion when his wife would have a package or something and they'll have to be picked up by the mailman. And Rob said, imagine his surprise when he knocks on his door.
He's really white trash.
And seriously.
You are really
Bobby white. Mailman, he's not going out of his way. Rob's on your route, right?
Yeah, on one of the routes I delivered.
Now, you said white trash. Why would you possibly be saying
the
that about our...
selling the used stuff on eBay with a massive mailing. I mean, one day I went over there, she had like 30 packages. Can you get this for me? I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
I need to do your job.
And then one Saturday, I saw him outside in the broad daylight.
Yeah.
Woo. Vampire.
But
the kids are beautiful. I give him that.
Yeah.
And he definitely traded up. He definitely traded up.
Oh, yeah.
Up.
Carrie,
yeah, Carrie did, is a nice lady.
He's wonderful.
Okay, great revelation.
Uh-huh.
I used to play the violin.
Wow.
You used to play the violin.
Thank you for that.
I like that.
I could read sheet music. I took lessons.
Can you still read music?
Thank God I've forgotten.
Oh,
and the really gay part about that, the person who inspired me, Harpo Marx.
Really?
Playing the harp in all those
movies. All right. In the movies.
So that was real bad.
Wow.
That is a gay revelation.
Yeah, that's real bad. I still love the violin.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I just can't play.
Okay.
Okay, I got two
quick... The soft side. Yeah. The sensitive side of Robert.
See, I shouldn't have said that.
No, I like it.
Oh, man.
All right, so what do you got about Rob?
Okay, well, I can't really say this. The second one on... Well, one of his relatives...
Yes?
...really is a racist. I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
He doesn't want me to say. And I also... you told me who it was.
What do you
want me to say?
No, don't say it.
He looked at you and... I don't know who he's talking about. Rob, I talked to you outside who you told me.
The reason I made that face is you said one.
Yeah, I think Tripp is the one that doesn't hate people.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
The other revelation is I can't say.
Hold on, that was one of your revelations.
Well, I mean, for real. I mean, really. Because we all know the house next to him is for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
so,
right.
They were in part of who moved in there. You know, they just gave him little hints like the cross half lit and the meetings and all that.
All right.
The house that you thought about buying?
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Okay.
Okay, what else you got?
Okay.
Well, I'd love to have you. You would have been.
He's talking to you. Right?
He's talking to me.
Talking to
I would have been fine living next door to him.
He does get right into the backyard, in your case, literally, Rob.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a great guy. You know, just don't live within 100 yards of him if you're black. So, the last one is Robert the Problem Solving Mailman.
Yes.
And we got two quick things, bad things going on in our community.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, there have been a lot of shootings in the D.C. area.
Mm.
These young men, drug dealers, whatever you want to call them.
Yep.
Robert, no.
I told you I'm gonna dump out on the N-word.
Wait,
don't,
this is appropriate.
Don't
this
no, appropriate. Listen, if you do it again, I swear to God, I'm going to throw your black ass out of here.
Oh, wait a minute. That just as bad?
That's just as bad, yeah.
Is that just... No, don't dump that.
Dump that, too.
Don't dump that.
Wow. Just don't go there, Robert.
Okay. Well, they shoot at each other, and but they're missing.
What is the solving problem solving?
I've contacted the NRA, and we're gonna start a program called the SRNP,
God,
the Shoot Right N-Word Program.
Oh dear! All right.
I didn't say it.
You didn't say it. Let's move on.
What's your other problem to solve?
Okay.
All right.
In the Spanish community.
Oh dear! Here we go. Yeah. Here we go. Ay, caramba.
About nine.
You know, you could stop right there. I'm happy already.
All right.
About, and this directly affects Mike, so he'll be interested in this. In the Spanish communities, in Arlington and Alexandria, Virginia, not D.C., about, 8-9 months ago, a gang member actually chopped off the arms of another gang member.
The hands, yeah.
Now, that's a problem, because...
I agree.
How can you clear tables at Mike's...
All right, enough.
With no arms.
Enough.
How can you rake leaves with no arms?
That man might be the guy you want to consult for that.
It can be
that.
You know, how can you, take your sister to take care of Mike's kids with no arms? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, all right. What's your next topic?
So, Oh, come on, man. I'm just...
I know. Come on. Right, you came loaded today.
You guys keep cutting my...
You got this. You're
the reason I had to hit the delay button, friend.
On this last date, I'm...
Is this the big announcement?
Yeah, but it kind of got hung up. At first, my big announcement obviously was that I was going to stand up. But he crushed my dreams and my hopes by laughing at me and talking about me behind my back. I do write material, and I was at Jokes on Us Sunday.
It's a funny bone?
Good. No, Jokes on Us. It's a black comedy club in Laurel, Maryland. You wouldn't know about it. Actually, I mentioned your names to a comedian, and he knew you.
Huh, really?
The guy named Talent. You know, he's always talking about it's just comedy. He's a very well-known comic in the circle.
You know, I only go to the white comedy clubs.
Yeah, and they're not very funny.
Because you go to the black comedy clubs.
Yeah, like, they're always funny.
Like there's a big sign outside that says whites only, blacks only.
No, my big announcement was... I'm thinking about opening a restaurant.
Yeah. Why you got to go there?
What are you going to call it? Robert?
Well, it's a Spanish restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
They're so impressed with me, they want me to run it.
Yes.
And they asked me. I'm thinking about it. Yeah. I'm like, I got invested.
So this is not a joke.
No,
you seriously are thinking about investing in a Spanish restaurant,
yeah.
a Mexican restaurant.
Yep, in McLean.
And would you do some of the cooking?
Yeah.
Oh, is that me? Robert is that's one of his sidelines.
Yeah. Oh, he does.
Robert
great
does
lasagna.
That's catering on the side, right?
Lasagna. Anything you guys want.
Well, I mean, how far along are you with this?
I got the investors, and I went back to the guy with the restaurant who wants to open it up, and. He fell flat on his face. He's like, he thought I was a joke. You know, he's like, you can talk about us on the radio. And I'm like, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't come in here and ask for anything.
No.
And he fell flat on his face. So it's up in the air. I'm still thinking about doing it, though.
Now, when he fell flat on his face, was shocked that you were going to be involved, or did he, like, go under?
He didn't think that I would actually bring investors in, and I did.
All right.
A couple of hundred grand.
So when do you think you'll know about your involvement?
About a month or two.
Mike, you're always looking for new investors for the Look Around Cafe.
Last time I was there, they got plenty of money.
And wouldn't a minority investor help out the overall?
Don, it would
I think I got enough of them cooking.
I'd say it would be, it would, no, actually not. We would have, it would be a wonderful profile for the restaurant.
I changed it into Bromeras.
But he's saying it's Spanish. It's a Mexican restaurant.
I've already got him out of that.
You know,
I've got him.
Just count him.
I've got him working at your place.
Already killed my comedy career.
How about a soul food enterprise?
No.
I'm like you.
You already killed. I was going to bring soul food in here, and you didn't want that.
I want soul. I do. Nobody said they didn't want soul food.
We were going to do N-word Fear Factor.
Robert, stop with the N-word.
I didn't say it.
Stop with that.
God. Okay, how about this? Can I have a jacket?
A dynamite jacket?
Yes, I promise. Yes,
and a hat.
You can.
And a hat. I'll wear it.
Okay. Hold on a second.
I'll wear it.
Hold on. Is it a jacket or a hat? Which is?
You know. I think you give him a jacket and he buys a hat.
You guys, I don't ask.
Do the math.
Okay, let me tell you something. Out of all the Wet Packers, have you guys ever given me anything? No. I love airtime. I love being in here.
Besides our goodwill and tiding,
have we given
you anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, don't give me that Italian ethnicity. You want a jacket from a website? We'll give you the jacket from
the
website.
And I'll post my pictures. From the massage.
I'm not going to post those pictures.
Robert, I respect the request that those pictures be destroyed.
I tell you what, I'll give you a jacket. You give me a deal on postage.
Oh, get me fired. I'll be working in here with Bacardi Limon.
Bacardi Limon.
Yeah, right.
We will give you that jacket.
So bad.
Robert, I promise we'll hook you up with a jacket immediately.
It.
No problem. The baseball jacket?
Yeah, man.
It's yours.
I want to wear it.
It's yours. I promise.
I'll wear it to the Black Comedy Club next
time. Before Christmas. We have time for like 1 minute of calls. Here's Brandon.
Watch out.
Brandon?
Hello, Brandon.
Yes, sir. Got it, Mike.
Yeah, you're on with Bobby Mailman.
Yeah, I voted for Bush and such because I think he's so funny on your show and whatnot.
And whatnot.
All right.
Real funny.
Dope. Yeah. See what you bring
did
to
you
the show?
Did you say whatnot, Robert?
No.
The guy on the phone did.
Just right.
Hello, Chuck.
Hey, how's it going, Don? I love the show.
Hi, Chuck.
Race relations.
Hey, you think the mailman's angry now? Wait till he hears what he's missing down at the soup kitchen tonight. Fried chicken and watermelon and grape juice.
Oh, now listen.
All right, now, come on.
I like all that. What's wrong with that?
Hold on. Here's Nick Joe. Nick Joe used to work here.
Really?
Nick Joe. Don't show me that porno.
It's race relations. I'm the same. How things have progressed.
Hi there, Nick Joe. Hello.
There you go.
Don and Mike.
Oh, honorable Nick Joe.
Hey, Nick Joe. Can you take me to that supermarket around the corner and see if they got fruit baskets? Nobody spoke English.
What's happening, Nick Joe?
Don and Mike, I had to call in this guy. Robert the angry male moron.
You talk to him. He's right here, Nick.
Robert, I used to be on the show. I used to work for Don and Mike.
Nick Joe is our rickshaw on Broadway. He is one of our favorite interns, and he's the guy who screamed out our names
on David Letterman.
On the Letterman show.
And look at him now. He's a nothing.
Look at me now.
Yeah, you're doing
I'm not even going to get into what I'm doing right now. What I say to you, sir, is I'm calling to represent for all the Christians, all the religious people in the Washington, D.C. area.
All y'all can go to hell.
Robert, I challenge you. I challenge you to any battle challenge of intelligence, wits, whatever. Name the time, name the place, name the state.
Okay, let's box. Let's box.
Remember, that takes a lot of intelligence.
Do you remember that Nick used to go on the religious retreats? Remember that?
Yeah.
That was one of his things.
Robert, on Nick Joe.
Boys.
How about after the holidays?
Sure.
We'll get Nick Joe in here. We'll get Robert in here. We'll get categories that you guys agree on.
Okay.
And we'll do like a Jeopardy.
That's
trivial
a great idea.
Like
wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
And Nick Joe, before we got a break.
And Nick made love to his teacher.
That's very sanctified.
Oh, that's right, lesbian.
Hey, I don't have a problem with lesbians.
Talk about sanctified.
Yeah, you're a jerk, man.
Hey, Nick,
shut up, man.
Hey, Nick Joe, would you give us a Korean Christmas greeting?
Christmas greeting. Okay, here it comes from Nick Joe.
Okay.
Nick Joe, 네요. 이 밥을 같은 흑인 녀석은 어떻게 아무튼 얘를 밥을 같이 할 테니까 한번 들어보세요.
I mean, time.
And can I ask him to do? Are we gonna sing the whole thing?
Oh no, I'm just playing this background.
You know what Nick used to do to crack me up? Nick, now do your heavy Asian accent with speaking American.
It's like talking like this. You know, I talk like this sometimes for Don and Mike and the people. If I come, this stupid man call on the radio. He makes the mail in the mailbox every day. Now he comes say people like
he
me love
the mail.
Jesus, love
give
Jesus
me
and God.
Pop sing.
He makes
four wings
Nick
with mumbles.
Nick Joe, you cracked my
and
ass.
And wild rice.
Hold on, Nick Joe. Hold on.
Nick
we got to find out where you are now. Hold on a second.
That'll be a nice challenge after the first.
Yeah, what does Nick stand for?
Robert.
Extra starch. Four wings with some rice, bitch.
What can I say, Robert? You are a lightning bolt.
I hope I was okay today.
Robert,
great today.
The lightning bolt
of the mainstream, Donovan.
You are. Listen, you are.
Everybody else has disappeared. I'm going kicking and screaming.
There you go. Now, and listen, I promise we'll get you the baseball jacket, and we'll have you in the first part of January, you against Nick Joe.
Okay.
All right. Have a good holiday.
Nice night.
Robert,
have
a very nice angry holiday.
I'll see you February 07.
All
right, get out of here, Rob.
There he goes.
Bye-bye. There goes Bobby Mailman. Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you, that guy's a lightning rod, isn't he?
He is. And it's always a pleasure. And he take your poker chip.
What are you doing?
And he's taking his pornography, his poker chip. Okay, thank you. He let me keep one of his magazines.
Oh, that's nice.
he let me keep his copy of Fox.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Oh, it's time for Buzz. God, anybody else sweating like a pig right now?
Oh,
I know
no,
I am after
tired.
After Roberts in here. Yeah, I am tired.
It's a controversy.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up.
I just wrote.
What?
That's funny.
That'd be a good name.
If Robert went into business with you at your place, Mike?
Yeah.
Negro Maris.
Oh, God. That's from Spiewak, the mind of Spiewak.
Great on time.
Yeah, and here he's coming back in. He's coming back. I knew he'd come
look
back in.
Look what you've done. Look,
it's Rob did it, Robert.
Look at that's Robert. That's come on, Robert. Come on, you know funny. That's funny.
That, what?
Okay, now come on, Gab. Got to delete you out again.
Bye.
Bye.
for God's sakes. Live in the now. Come on. We live in a different world. For God's sakes, we're the FCC.
Oh, Lordy.
Buzz?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you anyway?
I'm well, thank you.
What is your lead story today on the, tonight, excuse me, on the news and comments?
America's teenager has a stroke. We have an update.
Ah.
Articus. Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Fellas, that was very
professional, fellas.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Blissfully nude.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's some of the stations carrying our show in Fresno, California. 105.9 The Edge. Palm Springs, California. WGAM. Rochester, New York. WHTK and Buzz. Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
KFH-FM. 98.7 KFH-FM and 1240 AM.
Right.
Wichita, KFH. For everything about this show, go to our official site, DonAndMikeWebsite.com.
Go to the store.
Daily. Thank you, Lord. I got to think of a nicer way to say that.
I am helping the cause.
I know you are.
Not sure I want to fall in that grenade for too much longer.
No, I appreciate you. Well, yeah. Okay.
What am I saying? I'll fall on that grenade forever.
Sure.
And why not?
It's a swell store.
It's the end result that matters. I can fall on that grenade every day. It's really a great store.
DonAndMikeWebsite.com. Daily logs, audio highlights, pictures, pick the pros, fantasy football, everything there. DonAndMikeWebsite.com.
And the best priced merchandise consistent with quality you will find.
Time for Buzz's News, brought to you by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break, revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now. Find retailers. Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. America's teenager Dick Clark is recovering from a mild stroke he suffered earlier this week at the age
of... Greed is good.
75.
I mean, he was so charming the way he said it with the hair slicked back.
I think Dick Clark is sounding good.
Well, very good. Actually, it's a minor stroke, so our best guess is that he's speaking normally.
Spartacus was the most important thing I did in my career.
Buzz, you should know that's our go-to tape when it comes to stroke.
I understand, but it's man, my job to try to clarify.
I understand.
Facts.
You're doing your job. The face of American Bandstand says he hopes to be back in the swing of things before New Year's Eve, quoting a statement issued through his people. So we haven't heard him speak directly.
Mm-hmm.
The statement reads, "I'm hopeful to be able to make it to Times Square to help lead the country in bringing in the new year."
Right.
As we heard earlier on the show, CBS News has been reporting that he won't be able to make the New Year's Eve festivities this year.
Well, we wish
him luck. I'm having a stroke.
Yeah, I know you are.
That was from CBS.
Yeah.
Speaking off the cuff.
I'll have a blue Christmas. Hold on, give me one second. It took me a long time to find this. I should have had this 4 hours ago when we started the show.
There it is.
Give this to Dick Clark.
Now everybody.
Who's the artist?
Billy Squire.
If you're in the game.
What's the title?
Then the stroke's the word.
Stroke. Spartacus.
For Dick Clark. When we heard there was a shortage of flu vaccine this year, even people who don't normally get the shots went into a panic. But like any good mania...
Michael Soares.
Or maybe you know me as...
Don Geronimo.
Watch it.
I want that shot. I need that shot.
Well, good news may be on the way, my friend. Like any good mania, the demand faded with time. Now, here comes the vaccine.
Mine is Beetle, incidentally.
Mm-hmm. Beetle mania.
Beetle mania.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The government says...
Oh, and I'm a clay maniac.
And I'm a wrestle.
Maybe. WrestleMania.
Yeah. The government says it's found some vaccine in Germany that's safe enough to be used in this country. Bringing us another 4 million doses.
Okay. I understand that Herr Travolta will be bringing it over on his Zeppelin.
And the government says the British have promised us another 3 million doses after that. But because the German vaccine isn't licensed in this country, you'll have to sign a consent form saying you agree to try an investigational drug.
Oh.
But the best news is there hasn't been much of a flu outbreak in the U.S. this year. Pretty timely, considering the vaccine shortage.
Doc, hold on. Let me stop you for a second here, Buzz, because what I do best, interrupt. Are you sick right now?
I'm just getting over a cold.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I was sick for a long time.
Right.
Sick in the head.
Uh-huh.
Woke up yesterday morning, didn't feel quite right. Last night, got home, went to sleep at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, woke up this morning, told my wife, I got it again.
Really?
And she's never gotten rid of it the whole time. She still got the hacky cough.
And I'll be getting it at the end of next week.
Yeah. Start of vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. Not really the flu. It's just a cold, I think, that hangs on or keeps coming back.
Well, see, I would think that, Buzz, except really, I'm not being a martyr here. It has been a month.
But there's no fever, right?
Yeah. And flu doesn't last.
Hold on. I can't even do that joke anymore.
No.
Thermometer. I was going to say, give me a second. I'll tell you if I've got a fever.
But I will say, go ahead with this vaccine, because the Germans have a great history with medical experiments.
God.
Doctors say an outbreak could still happen, so maybe it'll come in handy.
And hold on. Just give me a second.
This is his temperature. Thermometer. Fever?
98.6.
Attaboy.
Perfect.
You might want to throw that away.
I want a breath mint, though.
In New York City, meanwhile,
see, you can do it.
In New York City, meanwhile, there's a surplus of flu vaccine. A surplus in New York. The Big Apple may have gotten more than its share. And now, because so many people heard there was a shortage, even the elderly and others in the high-risk groups have stopped trying to get vaccinated. Hey, there's a shortage. So clinics in New York are now full of vaccine, and there are no patients in the waiting room.
Unbelievable. You know what?
You got corn on my thermometer.
You got thermometer on my corn. New York officials say they now have more vaccine than there are people who want it. Even so, the vaccine's still only available to those in high-risk groups.
Well, put it on a truck and drive it to where the people are.
That's right. Funny thing happened over this past year or so, as you paid higher and higher prices for gasoline, you used a little less. Not a lot less, but enough to make a difference. And the oil-producing countries managed to boost production of the stuff. Oil production is now higher than it's been in 25 years. So now, suddenly, there's an oversupply of oil, and OPEC is trying to sell it off at more attractive prices.
All right.
Their prices are not exactly insane. The price will never again fall below $35 a barrel, but oil prices have dropped in recent weeks from a record high of $55 a barrel down to the current $43.
They want to make it more expensive, put the flu vaccine in the oil.
Oh, absolutely, and then it'll go down easier.
OPEC may vote this week to slow down production from the current level of 28 million barrels a day.
Hey, OPEC, slow down.
It will gross you out.
Hold on, Mike. Hold on. Give me a second. Hold on. I'm the guy
to
hear it always.
Mike O'Mara, you're grounded.
Thank you, Alan Thicke.
It would gross you out to look at before and after pictures of one of the men running for president in the Ukraine.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Not long ago, Viktor Yushchenko was a reasonably handsome man. Now his face is bumpy and disfigured, and now we know why. Someone has poisoned him. Doctors from Austria, the U.S., Britain, and France agree on this.
How did you describe him again?
I said he was a reasonably handsome man.
Before that?
Well, and then after that, his face is now bumpy and disfigured.
I'm not a beautiful lady from Chicago.
Baby. Doctors say the cysts and lesions on Yushchenko's face are nothing compared to the damage to his liver, pancreas, and digestive system.
Oh,
they believe dioxin was put in Yushchenko's food or water, and now his back and belly are in severe pain. Yushchenko is staying in the race for the upcoming second runoff election.
He's talking about your liver lately.
Can they flush that out of him? I don't think so. He's in the hospital right now. He's being treated. We can only hope that he comes out of
it. Dead man laying, I'm telling you. I mean, he's not even walking. He's a dead man laying.
We don't talk about Ukraine, but really, with everything that's going on, if he's going to go out, get the number two guy, whoever he is, and get that party elected over there, because, they won the election. They tried to steal it from him, and they're trying to poison the guy.
Right, and then they spread rumors that he had herpes, that he'd been drinking too much, and now we know it was actually poison. Well,
screw the Ukraine. No. I want to hear it for the U. Miami.
Yeah.
Miami. How many times did you see the guys on Monday Night Football? Oh, they cracked my ass up the other night.
What?
Even Al Michaels had to comment. Because, all the guys, when they get their shot with the starting lineups, they all... It started, Mike, like with your friend, the Ohio State.
Hi, Bill Harvey.
Now it's... The U. Mm-hmm. That's what Miami, University of Miami is. Mm-hmm. Some guy, I don't know who he is, for Dallas, when they were doing the, Larry Adams, so and so. What's the guy's name? Is Bob Johnny. Mrs. Marquette's third grade class. They come back from the graphic,
yeah.
And Madden's laughing, and Al Michael says, well, we've hit the all-time bottom. These guys have gone from giving nicknames to their schools to identifying their high schools.
Uh-huh.
This is the first time we've ever had a guy acknowledge his elementary school.
That's pretty cool.
On Monday Night Football. It was a pretty...
You confused me with Marquette, you know, because I was like, Mrs. Marquette being the university.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't think of the name, you know.
Actually mentioned his third grade teacher.
It was like, I was in Mrs. Burbank's class at Grover Cleveland Elementary School.
That's a pretty funny joke.
That was good.
Who do we trust? The Gallup poll is out with its annual survey of the most trusted professionals in the U.S.
This is Sam Huff.
There you go. There are 21 professions on the list. True to stereotype, car salesmen are at the bottom. Advertising people just above that. Then lawyers, congressmen, and business executives as we work our way up from the bottom. We trust newspaper reporters more than all of those, but less than we trust TV reporters.
You know what? That sucks.
Don't trust
newspaper men.
Well, they are low on the list, just down there with congressmen and used car salesmen.
You know who I don't trust? Angry black mailmen.
Watch out.
You should, because they're honest. Okay, then. But less than we... No response for that, eh?
No, there wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you got me there, Burbank.
But we trust newspaper reporters.
No response, eh? Funny eye, huh?
Touché. Touché. We trust newspaper reporters, but less than we trust TV reporters. A strange mid-list group includes state and local politicians, nursing home operators, daycare providers, and bankers. Judges rank eighth on the list. The clergy was seventh. Policemen sixth. Doctors fifth. Military officers fourth.
Huh?
Pharmacists third. Grade school teachers second. And nurses rank in first place when it comes to honesty and ethics.
Oh, that's nice. Hello, that's Jack, huh?
Huh? Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
That's right. I'm Buzz. There's two Z's on the end of that. Don't forget it.
That's right. Beloved actor Morgan Freeman. Also a private pilot, but the FAA has grounded him. And when we come back, we'll tell you why.
It's breaking my heart.
It'll be a short amount of time before
No, you don't understand.
What?
Because I love to fly. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
If only there was more time.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
We are forever making pretend. Don and Mike.
They're doing that always. And now here is Guy Burnley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Actor Morgan Freeman's been grounded by the FAA.
Why?
Freeman is also a private pilot, and he's in trouble for violating altitude regulations at Teterboro Airport in New Jersey.
I am a private pilot, and I fly all the time.
He says he doesn't know how long he'll be grounded for breaking the landing rules.
You know why I was grounded?
Why?
Because I flew too high.
Not high enough.
You didn't drink,
or
did you?
High enough. I didn't have any wine.
Good.
There wasn't time.
Can you tell us about your flight?
It was fine. I didn't know that I was going to fly too low. All I know is that I enjoyed being at the controls of my private aircraft.
I loved you in Bruce Almighty.
Thank you so much. I played God.
Yeah.
And I was good at it.
You were.
I could play anything, anytime, and I'll do a fine job. Just like Andy Dufresne. Because it's always... I took my Boeing 707 into a climb. Thank you, Buzz.
Thank you, Morgan. Quoting the actor, the hardest thing about flying is holding altitude. It's a three-dimensional effort. Flying into Teterboro, it was a very busy day. The control tower said, what are you doing? I said, I'm following the approach. They said, you weren't cleared for 2,000 feet. Go back up.
I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize to all the air traffic controllers in the world for making a terrible mistake. This is Morgan Freeman, and I'm grounded. Thank you.
It's just not right.
That's right. Buzz Burbank, fine newsman.
Thank you.
Fine.
Thank you, Morgan.
Excellent.
The fault was mine.
A third grader has been suspended from her school in the suburbs of New Orleans for bringing little cups of Jell-O to school.
Hello.
So that's what my kids bring to school. To adults, they look like Jell-O shots. She says her mother told her she could take the Jell-O cubes to school and sell them to raise money for Christmas. The 8-year-old says her mom works in a bar and makes and sells Jell-O shots at home all the time.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Makes them at home, sells them at the bar. At last check, school officials hadn't determined whether the little girl's Jell-O was spiked, but using a rule that allows them to suspend students for drug and alcohol lookalikes, they sent her home for 9 days.
It was funny.
The little girl will also now have to submit to a drug test involving a sample of her hair.
Unbelievable.
Do we know whether there's booze in there?
No contest. We still don't. It hasn't been said. They sent it down to the police lab for analysis, and you couldn't smell. And
I'd like to ask you a question.
Well, yes, go ahead, Morgan.
What type of Jell-O was it? Was it lime?
I believe it was.
Lime.
Thank you.
Having computers at their fingertips hasn't made kids smarter. It's made them dumber, according to a new study.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Study says students who use computers frequently at school are, quote, significantly worse at math and reading than students who use computers less often. Their theory is that kids who rely on computers may be doing so at the expense of other learning methods. More and more homes are getting high-speed internet service, but it's not to help the kids in school. The latest survey shows 1 in 4 of us get a broadband connection for the porn.
Yeah, hi, Robert Mailman. Mm-hmm.
10 times the speed of dial-up.
Hi, Travis Bickle.
And the number one reason given by people surveyed was downloading music. That's why they say they got the high-speed connection. But
right.
Adult entertainment did rank a close second in the survey.
People going to porn sites, don't porn sites screw up your computer more than anything?
Not with the right filtering.
Really? Want to hear me turn on my high-speed internet?
Yes.
Watch this. Ding, 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 ding. Now watch, it starts slow.
Yeah, all right.
But then it picks up.
Right.
Like right now it's a dial-up speed. Here we go now. Wow.
Yeah.
High-speed internet. Now page is loading again.
Right. Robin Brad.
There it is, high-speed internet. Look at those pictures. Man. Look at that text.
I love listening to your modem. So, downloading music, adult entertainment. Well, after that, in order, came music videos, listening to online radio, watching movie trailers, and lastly, sharing information with family and friends.
Sure.
Quoting a researcher, broadband in the home has really taken off.
That's my computer.
High-speed dating is also a popular recent phenomenon. And now they have it at Burger King in London. The British Burger King has joined with an online dating service for an event Saturday. Speed dating. As with the speed dating.
High-speed dating.
As with the speed dating conducted in bars, prospective lovers get 5 minutes to impress each other before moving on to the next prospect. But quoting an organizer of the Burger King event, you can spice up your love life safe in the knowledge you won't get stuck with a 5-course meal when you know it's a no-go.
Bingo.
The burger and fries. In sports.
Oh, hold on. It's about Dayton. Just one time, Buzz. Hold on.
Yes, Dayton.
Dating is a game that you're
going to
play.
Took Elvis a while to get to that
speed dating. He's probably on speed.
Of course he was.
When he sang this.
With Mary Tyler Moore.
I tell you why Mike said that. And Buzz, I know we're running late on time. I'll give you this in 15 seconds. I apologize for being rude to you last night.
You weren't curt with me, but you had seen it, and I called, it was a couple of nights ago, I called you to tell you that Elvis was in a movie with Mary Tyler Moore, which I didn't know.
It was Monday night.
Yeah, change of habit.
It was Monday Night Football, and I knew that this Elvis movie was on one of the high def channels. Mike rarely calls me with something like this. Mike said, hey, Elvis is on the high def channel, and I said something like, I know.
Of course you do.
I know.
It was not nearly that cold. It was more like, I know. All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sorry about that.
Sorry to take up your time. Five NBA players and 5 fans now face assault and battery charges from last month's brawl in Michigan. Prosecutor says all the charges are misdemeanors except for one fan who threw a chair. He faces a felony charge. The prosecutor says most of the charges are misdemeanors because there were no serious injuries. A fan named John Green's getting most of the blame for the melee. Quoting the prosecutor, He doesn't throw that cup, our test doesn't go into the stands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Finally, people crack under the pressure of the holidays. A hospital was unable to get Mark Morris out of his depression. A week later, he was back home in Chillicothe, Ohio, turning on the gas, hoping to end it all. It wasn't meant to be. Mark not only survived the gas, he survived the explosion that leveled his house.
Winner!
Even Santa gets the blues. Children visiting St. Nick in Finland found him sequestered in his grotto, grumpy and surrounded by dirty dishes and bottles of ketchup.
Ah, the grotto.
In Italy, a man who believes he's a cat got stuck up a tree and had to be rescued by firemen. The firemen say it wasn't easy. They say he had to be carried down the ladder after no success with trying to coax him down with a saucer of milk.
Oh, good.
All right, I'm Buzz Burbank okay. on the Don and Mike
That's
show.
Enough of that.
All right. No! No!
We gotta go. Oh. Thank you to all of our guests today, Frank Sinatra Jr. Uh-huh. and the Singing Doctor.
Yeah. It's a great show.
And Bobby Mailman. Yeah. Everything's at DonandMikeWebsite.com. Right. Ron and Fez coming up next on JFK, XYV, and BZZ. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode, everybody. Good day to you, sir.
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 Get Ronnie and Fezzy coming up next. And you?
Okay, then.
You're quoting Buzz. We will see you tomorrow, everybody.
Wash your feet.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.